please.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you
The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O on Star 88.
And we're back!
What day is this?
It's Wednesday.
I think I know what people want to hear when they first wake up.
Get up and go to work.
Police Department, Operator 2590, may I help you?
Hi, my name is Steve-O, and this is my co-host, Dex.
No, we're
calling from the Morning Invasion, and we just heard that it is Dispatcher Appreciation Week. Obviously, we don't want to waste the time of 911, and so we thought we would call you to say thank you so much for your service. We've heard so many people chiming in with stories of how 911 has saved them, or how 242 Cops has been so helpful, and so we wanted to say thank you.
Wow, thank you so much.
Yeah, we just wanted
to call.
Are we
going to go to jail?
No, we're not going to go to jail.
I'm scared we're
going
to go to jail.
We're not going to jail. Gosh, he's been so terrified. But I thought since this is the non-emergency line, we could at least take a moment to say thank you so much. Because you don't get that enough.
You're right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
That is awesome.
What's the strangest phone call you've gotten?
We just wanted to say thank you so much for everything you do, and we appreciate you because it is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, so.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Appreciate it.
God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Today is Wednesday.
This show is not high on my list of priorities.
Showtime.
Showtime.
This thing on. Hello. Hello. Good morning, everyone out there. Tex and Steve-O, we're live on a Wednesday, April 12th. It is 6:07 in the a.m.
You know, let's take a peek at the weather today. It's going to be beautiful. 75 is your high.
When I got to work this morning, it was 55 degrees.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, I almost just wanted to lay down in the grass.
Yeah.
Take a little nappy.
Beautiful. Little nappy nap?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's this bird. Every time I come into work.
Is it the robin?
Yes.
Yep.
He's like my buddy.
Dude. He just kicks it.
Yeah.
He waits for me to. He's a really cool
dude. Yeah. And he's not scared of us.
No, not at all. I talk to him. Like, I'm not joking.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I go, this morning, no joke, yesterday and today, I said, good morning, little fella. How are you today? And then I'm thinking, why did I just talk to a bird?
No. I'm not joking when I say I was coming in Monday morning, and he was just chilling like on the little perched area. And I'm walking down the steps, and I see him, and he like hops towards me.
Yeah,
he hops up onto like the little cinder block wall area towards me, and I said, huh? You know the early bird gets the worm. I seriously, and he hopped down, and he's like in the grass, and I kept walking, and I was like, I literally just said that to a bird.
I know. I've done it the past 2 days.
I for real am talking to
that,
a bird.
That is no lie. That is so funny that you're doing the same thing.
Dude.
I've never seen a bird that just, as soon as and it's at the same spot right before the trash.
Yep, totally, man.
Right before you get to the skate park, there's a little trash can, and this bird just jumps out of the tree and just walks over to you and, oh, hey, little fella.
I want to bring him food now. Well, it'll kill him. I better not.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because he's totally cool and he finds the worms and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seriously said that to him, and then I was like, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I felt
I'm
the same
that
way.
Guy. It's like walking up to way. Arnold Schwarzenegger, you're like, hasta la vista, baby. I don't know why I said that. I really don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm a little starstruck. You're a robin that's not afraid of me. What do you say to a bird?
Hey, little fella. That's what I say to birds.
Oh.
I don't know. It is weird, though. I find myself, every once in a while, when it's just me and my dog, Vader, I'll talk to my dog.
Yeah.
Like, he's a human being.
Yeah. I talk to Rocket all the time. Rocket understands me. I can say things to Rocket that I don't. He's my accountability partner.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. When I get home from work, I'm usually the only one in the house, and Vader's so excited to see me. And the first thing I usually say to him is, how was your day, buddy?
Mm.
And that's my dog. So tell me about your day. And he just looks at me with these big
stares,
big buggy eyes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Ugh. And you know he wants to to talk. He wants to communicate, but he can't.
Yeah.
He wants to so bad.
Do you ever look at him and say, say something, I'm giving up on you?
Yeah. I usually say, why don't you help around the house more?
Oh,
you're so
man.
Lazy.
Yeah.
You could do more. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Yeah. Shout out. I got to give a shout out to Sujay. Chimed in on our Facebook. Said, good morning, Steve-O and Dex. Just started recently listening to Star 88 FM after I attended the road show in Las Cruces. Your enthusiasm caught my attention, and I tuned into the station.
Oh.
Been hooked since then. Best show ever. God bless you guys.
Oh, that's really cool.
Cool, man.
It does work. Stage announcements do work.
Apparently.
That's cool. Yeah, we went down to the Rock and Worship Roadshow in Las Cruces.
Yeah.
And we did a stage announcement and just kind of promoting the morning show for anybody that, you know, hasn't heard us. And
yeah.
That's cool. Somebody actually tuned in.
Yeah.
Shout out to Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Ooh, yeah.
That was fun this year.
That was a lot of fun.
Met a lot of people. It's weird because we, if you didn't know, we have translators all over New Mexico and Southern Colorado.
Yep.
And so there's people all over the state that listen to us, but we don't even realize it.
Yeah.
We'd love it if you guys check in, if you listen, you know, somewhere in New Mexico or anywhere. We love it when you check in and tell us where you're listening from. 585-LIVE, you can text in. 505-585-LIVE.
Live.
Oh, we got a big show today.
We do, man.
Let's see. More 911 calls coming up. It's National 911 Dispatcher Appreciation Week. Maybe we'll call another dispatcher since it worked out so great yesterday. As you heard in the open there.
Yeah.
We called 242 Cops to thank the wonderful dispatchers for their hard work, their dedication, their patience. Because it takes a lot of patience to have a job like that. And a lot of stress, too.
Yeah, dude. For realsies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shout out to them for all they do. It's incredible.
There's a prom coming up.
Yeah.
And Michelle Schroff will be on the show at 7.
That's this Friday, man. Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
We have the details, of course, at our Facebook page, facebook.com/star88FM. It's Project Zoe's prom. Once upon a time.
We'll give you all the details. We have an update coming up. We talked a little bit about this guy who was dragged off of a United flight after they forced him to give up his seat against his will. He was a doctor. And a bunch of people out there dug up some info on this guy. Yesterday when I saw this, it was heartbreaking to hear that this doctor isn't a very good person.
No, stop it. It's what happens, man.
He's done some pretty terrible things.
Dude, it's the government, bro. They're just trying to discredit him, man.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can just, like, ruin it, bro. So, like, it's the first thing you do. You just attack his character, man.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy, man.
Yeah. So we'll update you on that this morning and talk about some of United Airlines' new mottos. People are going crazy and having a lot of fun with it. So maybe we'll throw it out there and ask. Our listeners are so smart and funny.
Yeah.
If you had to come up with a new motto for United Airlines, what would it be?
Oh, no. Oh, man.
I got a couple that I came up with.
Yeah.
One of them, we put the hospital in hospitality.
Oh, my gosh.
Not enough seating? Prepare for a beating.
Stop!
United Airlines.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it. How was your day yesterday?
Good, man. Can't complain. It was, I mean, a day filled with baseball, as always. Two games yesterday. Brody and Luke had a game. So, you know, running back and forth. Luke pitched again.
Yeah?
Got the win. So, that was good. He did really well.
That's great.
Brody was so excited to play his game, and he was the pitcher, and he kept, like, telling me over and over, of course, because he was so excited, because at one point the ball came to him, and he caught it, and he threw it hard to first base, and it made it all the way to the first baseman. Yeah. He was really excited, so.
That's cool.
Yeah, dude. It was pretty fantastic. Can't complain.
Good.
So that was my day, in a nutshell. Baseball.
Baseball.
A whole lot of baseball.
Good, man.
So, yeah, dude. Man, people chiming in on the live line already. Shout out to Farmington, who said, thank you for waking me up in Farmington every morning.
Good morning.
Talking about talking to animals, somebody said, my dog is deaf and I still talk to him.
Yeah, it's just something that we do, you know? We just want it so badly that they can communicate back.
How about this one? I talk to my dogs all the time. As a matter of fact, my dogs aren't dogs at all. They just happen to be humans trapped in dog bodies.
You're a weirdo.
Somebody else just requested slow-mo hippie Steve-O.
I got to remember to do slow-mo this Friday. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, man!
We haven't done it in a couple weeks.
Another member of the Starmie has chimed in with their United Airlines tag. United Airlines. We drag you there.
Good job. That's a good one.
Gosh! Somebody else chimed in, sadly, saying that their sister used to be a 911 operator. She said she never knew how many crazy people lived in Albuquerque. She finally left. A bit jaded.
I bet.
Yeah. That would be hard.
Yeah. I bet. Because we've all heard, we've played, and we played some yesterday. Some of the 911 calls that these guys get.
Yeah, dude. So we got a couple of people actually chiming in saying, hey, here's the number for Bernalillo County Dispatch. And then we got another one, Rio Rancho Police Dispatch, maybe Las Cruces Dispatch.
Good. We got to track them down.
Let's see. Asheville, North Carolina just chimed in to say love you guys.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to North Carolina. I hear it's beautiful there.
How about Lordsburg, New Mexico?
Where's that?
Shout out to Arliss. I don't know.
Huh.
Well, I mean, it's in Lordsburg.
Let's see where that's at. Lords.
I'm going to guess south. It's a little south. Let's see. It's to the south.
Let's see where you're at, Lordsburg.
Southeast of Albuquerque. Did I nail it? No. Way west.
Yeah.
But it's in the south.
Yeah. It is. If you're heading to Tucson, you're probably going to.
Okay. How about this one?
From Las Cruces.
With United, your ticket means nothing.
That's good. Good job.
Gosh, dude. They are toast. Are they toast?
Did you hear how much stock they lost?
No.
I believe it's $250 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you think you probably should have maybe gone
started
up a little
with
more
a real
on,
apology.
Well, they should have gone up more than $800 on the brochure in the hotel.
The CEO has changed his tune, too. We'll talk about all this coming up. But, yeah. Because, man, his apology was not – it was a non-apology, really. So, yeah.
I think that's probably what the lawyers told him to do.
Yeah.
They have to say those things. It's like when I got fired. These people, you know, bosses that I really thought loved me, they can't really say anything to me. You know, it's like they can't just go off in an email telling me how much, you know, they respect me. And no, it's like, thank you for your hard work. That's it. Okay, thanks. And yeah, and the first when I got fired, I was kind of upset because these people that I've spent years with, and you get just an email like, you know, saying thank you so much. Okay,
cool,
then come
cool,
to find
man.
Out, it's that's it. That's how they have to handle those situations.
Right. Yeah, which is unfortunate, but yeah, so true. Somebody else chimed in to say, "How about those Angels last night, Steve-O?" Yeah. Remember how a couple days ago I was like, dude, we were down 3-9 going into the ninth inning, and it was like, well, we're toast. We, last night, were playing the Texas Rangers, and they went up 5-0 on us.
Okay.
We scored one in the 7th.
All right.
We scored one in the 8th. Okay. So it was 2-5 going into the 9th, and it's like, well, I mean, we've handled worse than that.
Okay.
We scored 3 in the 9th to tie it.
No way.
And we scored a walk-off on a bunt in the 10th to win it.
Wow. That's cool.
I realize there are 162 games a year, and we've only played 8, but we are 6-2, and we are leading the division, and I'm just, you know, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you guys. What are we talking about again?
I mean, we're just talking about
baseball. All right, let me kick off the story. We were talking about this wonderful bird this morning.
Laffy!
Oh, Laffy?
Come here, Lassie, there's a pup.
The Humane Society in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, recently ended up with a dog, a cat, and a pet rat after their owner couldn't take care of them anymore. Apparently, they were extremely bonded to each other. Check out these pictures real quick, Steve-O. There's the dog.
Okay.
There's the cat, and there's the rat. Here's another picture of the cat with its arm draped over the rat. They love each other. Look at them. Just hanging out. There's the rat. So,
I'm going to be sick.
The dog's name is Sasha. And it looks like a terrier mix. The cat is black and white, and its name is Jack. And the rat's name is Tweaks. It's a run-of-the-mill rat, like you'd see in New York subway, but with black fur. The original owner told the workers they should all stay together if possible, and they weren't lying. Because as soon as they put them in different rooms, the cat got really depressed. So they decided, let's put him in the same room with the dog, and it perked up. Then they put the rat in with them, and they even got happier.
Okay, this is weird.
They started calling them the Rat Pack.
I had a cat named Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really did.
Oh, that's
poor
great.
Little thing. She only had one eye, and I'm not being funny.
Seriously?
Yeah, well, she had two, but like she always had gunk in one that like caused it to be like kind of closed. And
right?
Yes, I got the drops. I did everything. And it was just like this weird overactive left eye. So she always like had one eye, man. So I was like, you are Sammy Davis Jr.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they put them all in one room. They were not depressed anymore. They were happy. Well, they now were looking for somebody to adopt all three of them. Not just one or two. No, this is a package deal. We need to find somebody who wants a cat, a dog, and a rat.
A Star Member says this sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
It does, doesn't it? A woman recently came in with her daughter and said she'd take the dog and the cat.
Okay. Oh, nope. Sorry, man. Gonna have to take that rat.
Well, once they found out this is a package deal.
Yeah.
You have to take the rat because they've bonded. Well, okay, we'll take the rat
too.
No
way!
And yeah, this daughter and this mom adopted all three of them. That's beautiful. There's no way I would ever, ever adopt a cat. Now, I would go with a rat. But a cat?
Whoa.
No way, man. No way.
You are making me ill, man.
Rats are very smart.
We live on the west side, and we've had a couple roaches pop up. And last night, Jack said, "What eats roaches?" Because the dog just will stare at it. And I'm like, "Rocky, like, do something. That's gross, man."
Yeah.
And I said, "Cats will eat them."
Yeah, they will.
He was like, "We should maybe think about getting a cat." I'm like, "Yeah, you should probably never say that ever again."
Yeah.
Like, ever.
Yeah, especially if you have mice in your house.
Yeah, and we've had mice in the backyard at least because of the garden and everything.
Yeah.
So we've had to like, oh man, chicken wire,
yep,
and doing it, you know.
Yeah.
But we still get them because of our big garden.
Yeah, I get them every once in a while too. Leslie's freaking out because she thinks that they're in the walls. She can hear them.
Okay.
Like, come on.
You can't. No, they're not in the walls.
Yeah, well. Tell that to my wife.
Those are rats.
They're those are bigger. Rats. Those aren't stinking mice.
They're much larger.
Yeah, you guys need to look this up if you get a chance. Look up the story. A dog, cat, and a rat with a special bond. They all got adopted. The pictures are pretty cool. The picture of the cat with its arm, just a little paw draped over the rat. They're just sleeping together. That's crazy, right? Have you ever seen those videos or pictures of out in the wild? There'll be a deer that's best friends with a horse.
Yeah. I saw one yesterday and it was two tigers and a bear. Did you see that in the news? It was weird, man.
Really?
Yeah, I think they were like film performance animals or something.
Yeah.
But they were like buds.
Right.
They all lived together. And it's like two tigers and a bear. And it was really like, man, those dudes could take over the world.
Yeah, right?
They were huge, yeah. Man. But the tigers were like nuzzling up on the bear. And I was just like, this is crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to have all three come up as like little tiny animals because they were huge and ferocious. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen. And they were all just like cuddling. Or just rawr. Yeah. I'm just going to play with you. It's so crazy.
There's one, I think it's a pig and a grizzly bear. And they're best friends.
That's so funny to me.
Yeah.
If only the bear knew what bacon tasted like.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh my gosh. Starmy member just chimed in. Lives in Taylor Ranch. Had a raccoon in their walls. A raccoon. They said it was disgusting. I'd have been so stoked. I've only seen a couple ever in my life.
They're thieves, man.
That is so... Look at you.
They're thieves.
It was huge, too. I saw one on Paseo, and it was like... ginormous.
They're mean too.
Yeah, they look so cute thanks to cartoons. Yeah,
they carry a lot of rabies, and they'll eat your little finger off and steal everything. They will.
Speaking of random animals, there is a giant snake coming through town tonight.
What?
No, that's not it. Actually, an 872,000 pound transformer is snaking its way through Albuquerque up to the town of Bernalillo. So, FYI.
Like a real transformer?
New Mexico State Police say that its officers, along with the APD, are going to be helping PNM move this super load transformer. Yeah.
Wow, that's
from,
cool.
The U-Bank gate at Kirtland. It's going to be traveling at its max speed of 10 miles an hour.
Whatever. Bumblebee could go way faster than
okay,
that.
Okay, it's not an actual transformer, but it's like a 872,000 pounds.
Gotcha.
So it's going to go from Kirtland Air Force Base to the PNM substation on the west side.
Wow.
Yeah. Very slowly. It's going to start at 9 p.m. tonight, just so you know. So don't be out past 9.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, headlines, we'll check the roads. Good morning.
Copyright infringement suit brought against singer Ed Sheeran over the hit Photograph has been settled in L.A.
President Trump sat down with nearly two dozen CEOs.
Rex Tillerson arrives in Moscow.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions is touring the U.S.-Mexico border.
The future of in-flight cell phone calls is up in the air.
There's some bagged spinach that could bite you back in Maryland.
The spinach was purchased at Giant Foods. The couple had opened their bag of spinach to make their lunch when all of a sudden they noticed something crawling around. When they took a closer look, it was a scorpion.
A lawsuit claims hackers have been raiding the bank accounts of third-party sellers doing business on the Amazon site.
If you use a fitness tracker that records your pulse, you might be interested to learn just how accurate it is. None of the trackers got exercise heart rate readings that even came close to those recorded by an ECG.
A federal judge has ruled for the second time that a strict voter ID law in Texas was designed to keep minorities from voting.
Kay Ivey is the new governor of Alabama after Robert Bentley resigned.
The government health panel has followed the lead of several medical groups and dropped its opposition to routine screening for prostate cancer.
Coming up, 7. We'll talk prom with Michelle Schroff. It is 6:36.
High today of 75 degrees. Taking a look at the roads right now. I don't see any accidents to report. There is some road construction. The roadway is reduced to one lane, Sunport Boulevard East between University and Yale. Normal construction on Central as they ramp up for the Albuquerque Rapid Transit. Other than that, everything's looking pretty good today. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Make plans this Friday. Good Friday. To come on down and give blood. United Blood Services will be here on location. And there's going to be a message from Skip Heitzik, live music. Well, Mahoots will be out there after the morning show broadcasting live.
Mm-hmm.
So come and say hi. All the details, calvaryabq.org for Good Friday. How old is Claire Danes today? Of course, she's on one of my favorite shows, Homeland. And I used to watch this show. Was this show on MTV, My So-Called Life?
Yep.
Was that MTV?
Yeah.
Jared Leto. Yeah. Used to watch that show all the time. How old is she today?
38.
She's 38.
Yay!
You got one.
Yeah, no, I know. Trust me.
Oh, you're a fan. Okay.
If you go back and listen to the tape, see how long it took me to pause on that one when you asked me how old Claire Danes was. And I will also point out, I'm playing my stupid Marvel video game, not even actually paying attention, and I still nailed that one.
Oh, wow.
I love you, Claire.
Shannon Doherty.
Oh, man.
Charmed, 90210. She was Brenda Walsh.
Yeah, she was.
She fought cancer and won.
Yeah, dude. That was huge. That was huge. She is 45.
46!
Dang it!
Oh, one of my favorite bands. I haven't listened to this band in a while, but one of my favorite bands. You probably love them because you're a huge fan of the 90s.
Oh, dude, yesterday I put it on Bush Radio in Bush honor Radio. Of getting...
Oh, man.
I really
you
did.
You buy your tickets yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
And I was like, this is the greatest radio station ever. Wait, I work for a radio station.
311 singer Nick Hexum.
What?
Is how old?
I was literally talking about them on the show yesterday.
Were you?
Yeah, remember? Because 311, I couldn't remember
him.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
I was all mixed up. Didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Next thing you turn around, I'm on the bus. And as you... Oh, man. He's probably 45.
47.
Dang it!
So crazy. It was a couple years ago they were in town, and maybe 2.5 years ago, and I got to interview Nick Hexum, and I got to bring Caleb with me.
That's cool.
And he got to hang out and meet Nick Hexum, and it was one of those surreal moments, because here, this is a guy I grew up listening to,
right.
I was such a huge fan of, and now I'm... A grown man with my son interviewing Nick, and he's old like us. It's weird. He's
old. What do you mean like us, bro?
He's 47.
I look like I'm 23 when I shave.
I know, right?
It's true. Leave me alone.
You look so
young. Look
like
a child.
Man.
Not everyone likes it when I shave.
The 90s are just celebrating birthdays.
Really?
Art from Everclear.
What?
The lead singer.
Mm. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. 48.
Wow. 55.
I was hoping for younger. I was trying, man. Sorry, Art. I was trying.
David Letterman celebrating a birthday. And sad news, his mom passed away yesterday.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah. It's really sad.
Oh, gosh. His mom passed away the day before his birthday?
Yeah.
Oh. 70. Really?
70.
Yes.
And Tom Clancy would have been how old? The author of The Sum of All Fears.
Wait. Tom Clancy died?
Yeah.
Oh.
In 2013. The Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger. How old is...
Well, I didn't know he died, man.
How old would he have been?
It's like breaking news.
No, 2013 he passed away.
That's terrible. 78.
70.
Okay, well.
Good job. Well, you know, you got one.
Pretty close.
Pretty good.
That's no way to talk to your superior.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just. All right. Welcome to the show this morning, guys.
Welcome, guys. Just welcome.
Lots going on, included United CEO, who is now contrite. Guys, there is fallout on fallout on fallout.
Yeah.
As public outrage grew, the stock took a hit over the forceful removal of a bloodied passenger. United's top executive turned contrite and finally apologized and launched a new review of the company's policies. This is crazy, man. So he came out the first time. What did he say? The reassigning? What was it called? Oh, reaccommodating.
Yeah.
They had to reaccommodate this dude and then blamed him in an email to the company, like just to the employees. Hey guys, don't worry. This is only electronic email or electronic mail. I mean,
yeah,
because the E stands for electronic. Ah, he's a dumb. So he probably said electronic email. Nobody's ever going to read this. It's the belligerent passenger's fault. TMZ 2 hours later.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, he has changed his tune. Quote, like you, I continue to be disturbed by what happened on this flight, and I deeply apologize to the customer forcibly removed and to all the customers aboard. No one should ever be mistreated this way.
Wow.
Now, we did have somebody chime in and go, I'm sorry, maybe I missed it. What happened with United? Like, someone actually hadn't heard.
Yeah. In a nutshell, there was a doctor on board this plane, United Airlines. Well, here's the thing. United Airlines needed 4 tickets for their employees to travel. So what they do is they offer up these brochures. Hey, here's $800 to use on any flight in the future, and we're going to put you up in a hotel, but you got to fly out on Monday. Anybody want that? Nobody on the plane wanted the brochure. So they said, well, now we're going to randomly pick 4 people,
yeah,
even though you paid, to get off the plane. Well, 3 out of the 4 got off the plane, except the doctor. He said, I have patients. I need to get home. He wouldn't get off. So they got the police.
They got nasty, yo.
And they tried to drag him off, and he ended up hitting his head, and he got knocked out. He was bleeding. And people filmed it. It was nasty. It was awful. But there was really, we talked about it for about 45 minutes yesterday.
And, yeah, dude.
And there's really no other way they could have handled the situation. I mean, maybe there is. I don't know. But it was pretty horrific what happened.
Yeah.
To this doctor.
Speaking of horrific, a member of our Starmy just chimed in and said, man, yeah, guys, remember when Goose got reaccommodated? R.I.P. Goose.
R.I.P., man.
That was sad. Man. The doctor was from Kentucky. Man, yeah, the Chicago Airport Police had to pull him screaming from his seat, and he hit his head. He told a Kentucky television station he was not doing well. He's still in the hospital in Chicago.
Well, he was 69 years old.
Yeah. So when asked what his injuries were, he said, quote, everything, end quote.
Oh.
That's really the quote.
So lonely.
Okay. All right. I don't know why the computer did that. Apparently they dug up a bunch of dirt on this guy, too. He was convicted in 2004 of illegally prescribing painkillers to a patient. The allegations also say he gave the guy painkillers for other things I can't really talk about. But he got his medical license reinstated in 2015, but in the process it came out that he had some mental health issues and a mood disorder. Are you okay? You need me to do the Heimlich? So, yeah, he's got mental health issues and a mood disorder. Is what they've dug up on this doctor. And you know what? With all that said, still pretty horrible how they treated this guy, no matter what.
It was awful. I just got a great meme from a dear friend of mine who said, sorry, we thought that guy was a guitar. And it's like the airline and then the smashed guitar.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
it was horrible.
Yeah, you can imagine. There have been some new slogans floating around for United Airlines.
Here are some possible new slogans for United Airlines. If you weren't afraid to fly before, you will be now. We put the hospital in hospitality. Just imagine how we treat your luggage. Keep your feet out of the aisle. We need dragging room.
Okay.
United Airlines, now serving punch. Welcome to our new Fight Club and Express checkout service. We'll beat any price and beat any customer.
Oh, okay.
You carry on, we carry off.
Oh.
Early boarding, late boarding, water boarding, it's all the same to us. Board as a doctor, leave as a patient. This has been possible new slogans for United Airlines.
That's terrible!
Somebody just chimed in and said, United, we fly, you cry.
Gosh.
Please share those if you have a motto for United Airlines. 585 Live. We love that.
Yeah. Somebody said United messed up with the overbooking, but I don't think people realize that it was the airport security that beat the man. The doctors should sue the airport and United.
Wow.
Okay. Somebody said, here's the deal, bro. First off, regardless of the United policy, if a police officer tells you to do something and you don't cooperate, fair game in my opinion.
I kind of feel the same way.
Also, they were offered vouchers, Dex, not brochures.
Oh, sorry.
Three of the four took the brochures. They're enjoying a nice vacation in Hawaii.
Thank you.
One person was not interested in the timeshare and was beaten.
Here's a brochure for you.
Oh, man. Yeah. Delta has a different incentive structure for how they bump people off. Wall Street Journal thinks that it's actually part of why it went so wrong for United. So, somebody said if he would have complied, he'd be home. Now he's in the hospital. And what about his patients that he so desperately needed to get back to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. United Airlines stock drops $1.4 billion after passenger removal controversy.
Have you seen the Southwest Airlines one?
Uh-uh.
We beat prices, not our customers. Southwest Airlines.
Oh, man. Ugh.
Yeah. It's been crazy, man. Well, as you mentioned, this doctor has had a history of mental health problems, depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, for which he's received treatment, according to state licensing records. He's been previously cited by a hospital in the 2000s for disruptive conduct. He was ordered to seek evaluation for anger management issues. He's got a criminal record, as you mentioned. But that these reports aren't swaying anybody. Like, no one is showing any mercy to United whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. So we'll see what happens. It's gotten, how much money did you say they've lost?
The stock, $1.4 billion. It dropped $1.4
billion. Gosh!
Yeah. That's
over like a $1,200 voucher, man.
United stock falls 1.1%, wipes out $255 million off the airline's market cap.
Man. Yeah.
Bet they're wishing they did things a little different.
Yeah. Well, of course, everybody's seen this video by now of the passenger getting beaten up, dragged off by, and I shouldn't say beaten up, because if you look at it, he fell. He was, man, he was throwing a tantrum.
Right.
And I mentioned that yesterday. It was kind of like a kid in a grocery store who can't get the candy bar and they throw themselves to the ground.
Yeah, he might have been flailing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know.
He hit his head on the armrest.
Yeah.
Like, that's not in question.
They were trying to get him up
Nobody
out of the seat.
Beat him in the face. Yeah. Man, well, of course, the media has been digging up all of the dirts, but yeah, he's probably still looking at some cash.
Probably. I'm sure they're going to settle.
Speaking of controversy, here's an interesting one. We talked about this on Monday, and we talked about it actually last week as well, because I'm a huge fan of the X-Men. X-Men Gold released a week ago, X-Men number one, they're relaunching. Really excited. In fact, we did a mini review, if you will, about this new relaunch. And coming up later, actually, X-Men Blue, the sister comic that they've relaunched. It's coming out today, actually. I got an early copy to review. So we'll talk about that. Well, in this comic book, the artist, Ardian Saif, who's a Muslim, made some pretty controversial statements within the pages without Marvel knowing. He hid messages in there from the Quran
that were anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, having to do with Christians and Jews leading over Muslims, citing different passages in the Quran, because one of the characters in the X-Men, who's now the leader of the X-Men, is Jewish, and that would be Kitty Pryde. Another one would be Kurt Warner, who is Nightcrawler, who's one of the heads, and he's a Christian. And so he put all this stuff in there because of the controversy in Indonesia, because they have a governor who's a Christian, and there's protests and all kinds of stuff. Well, we talked about the fact that he hid these messages, and Marvel came out and said, we don't condone this, we're going to pull it. All subsequent reprints will not have this artwork. They pulled the digital copy, so you can't even digitally get it anymore.
And Marvel wouldn't have even known if it wasn't for, wasn't it a Muslim person?
Yeah, it was a dude in Indonesia. A Muslim dude in Indonesia who spotted it and posted some screenshots and tagged the artist himself and said, hey man, are these shouts out to the protests happening? And is this, are you saying this is your stance? You know, and he in fact is like, yep, praise be to Allah. Here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so Marvel gets word of this and obviously freaked out.
Pulled the issue.
And so pulled the issue. They're going to re-release it with different artwork. And their statement included, well, they said the mentioned artwork in X-Men Gold Number 1 was inserted without knowledge behind its reported meanings. These implied references do not reflect the views of the writer, editors, or anyone else at Marvel. They're in direct opposition of the inclusiveness of Marvel Comics and what the X-Men have stood for since their creation. This artwork will be removed from subsequent printings, digital versions, and trade paperbacks, and disciplinary action is being taken. Well, in the meantime, the artist, Ardian Saif, made a post on his Facebook addressing the controversy, and here's what he had to say yesterday, quote, my career is now over. He also tried to clarify his intentions, including the messages explaining that they stood for justice and for love. Here's the statement. He said, hello, worlds. My career is over now. It's the consequences of what I did, and I take it. Please no mockery, debate, no more hate. I hope all in peace. In this last chance, I want to tell you the true meaning of the numbers 212 and QS551. It is number of justice. It is number of love. My love to Holy Quran. My love to the last prophet, the messenger. My love to Allah, the one God. My apologies for the noise. Goodbye. May God bless you all. I love you all. Ardian Saif.
Wow.
So he posted that on his Facebook page, and Marvel was like, word. Well, you're fired.
Yeah.
So they straight up, like, they finally have released an updated statement as of yesterday afternoon, and they have completely terminated his contract as an artist, period.
Yeah, he's
like,
done.
It's not like, well, we're going to move him on to a different book, and we're going to da-da-da-da-da. They straight up fired him. He had already drawn the next two issues of the X-Men, so, of course, they went back and made sure everything was cool, you know?
Like, really?
Yeah, for real. They've already proofed it. And so both of those issues are going to come out with his artwork because they were already, both of them were already finished. But yeah, he's done, man. They've already found a new artist to take over the next few issues. And then we'll see what happens from there. But crazy, man.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So a lot of people were very upset, including G. Willow Wilson, who is a writer for Marvel. She writes Ms. Marvel, and she is also a Muslim. She tweeted some angry stuff at him because she was very angry with the fact that it's already difficult for her as a Muslim to get work in that industry. And now it's like, well, thanks, bro. It's like anytime a Christian does something really stupid.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, and that's just stamped over all of us. Thank you so very, very much.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But makes you wonder, too, how many other hidden messages might be in comic books.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
What other things are out there that nobody knows about?
Who knows? Well, Marvel, this is their update. Marvel terminated the contract of Ardian Saif effective immediately. X-Men Gold 2 and 3 featuring his work have already been sent to the printer. They will continue to ship. Issues 4, 5, and 6 will be drawn by R.B. Silva. 7, 8, and 9 will be drawn by Ken Lashley. And a permanent replacement artist will be assigned to X-Men in the coming weeks. Craziness, man!
That is.
By the way, if you're wanting to get a copy of that book... Just
kidding.
Right?
Well, I went in yesterday to hang out with the guys over at the shop we go to. They refused to, like, supermarket up. You know what I mean? Because if you go on, like, eBay or somewhere, it's, like, crazy marked up. And they're like, I don't want to make a buck off.
Yeah.
Koran controversy. Right. So they do still, they had some just, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Michelle Schroff is here. We're going to talk prom. We'll be right back. Alicia Cara, Scars to Your Beautiful, Star 88.
But what if it's Cara?
I mean, it could be. It just depends on, you know, where you're from.
Whoa, why?
710, good morning.
High today of 75 degrees. Traffic! Taking a look at the roads right now. There's some road construction. The left lane is closed. Montaño Road Northwest at Culture. Also some construction on Central between Girard and Carlisle. The right lane is closed there. I'm not seeing any accidents this early in the ABQ. However, there are some traffic lights flashing red. Unser Boulevard at Paseo Del Norte. That's backing things up on the west side. Treat it as a four-way stop. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Ladies and gentlemen, Michelle Schroff, yeah! Everyone. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey.
Hold hey. On.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, okay. I cannot believe this. You're here.
I'm here. It's been forever.
Not going to lie, man. I ran to grab her from the back door. I just threw my arms around you. I haven't seen you in forever. It's weird.
Last year, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. It's been too long.
Been a minute, yo. How you been?
I've been great.
I keep up with you through your kids on Instagram, apparently.
Right?
So,
right.
So I feel like I still see you because mm-hmm. I'm like, so how was this weekend? Saw some cool stuff on Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes.
And that's how.
It
seriously.
Awesome.
I think, yeah.
You missed it.
One of the Schroff girls.
Yeah.
I was like, they're doing cool stuff. Cody's playing guitar. I don't know what's happening.
Right?
So, but for those that don't know who you is, tell us a little bit about yourself, Michelle.
Well, I'm 5'4".
Okay. Not like that. You should have thrown on the cheesy, like, dating game music.
Yeah, I know,
that
right?
Turn like, into immediately, like, the love connection.
I like piña coladas.
And my husband will kill you.
That's right. Yes,
with
he
his
will.
Pinky.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, actually, so. I have a great husband, and he's very gentle and kind.
He's a pretty good guy.
He's going to be here mañana.
But he will kill you.
Yeah.
He will.
He will.
I can't even imagine what it's like for boys coming over to your house.
You have no idea.
Are they even allowed in the house?
Yes.
Okay.
But you can't even imagine how many boys will change their mind about asking our girls out because of my husband.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, I couldn't handle Mr. Schroff.
Yeah,
see, but
no way.
On the flip side, though, if a dude is so bold,
that's
it's
true.
Like, hey, man, this dude's...
You
I
are
mean,
worthy of my daughter.
Immediately, I'd be like, well done, you, my son.
We have a married child, so there was one.
That's so cool.
There was one.
Good job, young man. Way
and
to brave it.
And he is amazing.
Yeah, see? There's benefits to having dad like
It's
that.
Love, man. It's it like is. He was willing to conquer the giant.
He did.
For love.
Oh,
man, I got to hit the weight room. I gotta get bigger.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
How you'll know, man. That's
you
how
keep
you'll
the
know.
The losers away. It's amazing.
But it's never like that in TV shows, right?
No, it isn't.
Because it always turns out that the loser, no matter what, gets your daughter.
Not at the Schroff house.
Okay, yeah.
No. No.
No.
Yeah.
No. Reality.
Okay. I'm hoping
real
that's reality.
Dude.
Yeah. So you guys have incredible ministries, but let's talk Project Zoe, because
yes.
Obviously coming up Friday, we've got Once Upon a Time, the incredible prom. The second annual now, right?
It is.
Gosh.
We had no idea we were going to do a second annual.
Yeah.
When we had the first one, it was insane. There were like 300 kids that showed up.
Which is phenomenal.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a ton of fun. So
obviously the prom's coming up this Friday. But before we dig into the prom, let's talk about where the proceeds go. Because for those that don't know about Project Zoe, it's been a minute since you've been in here.
Right?
So
you've
got to tell the people about this phenomenal ministry that you have.
We're just a little nonprofit local that we just love on girls 13 to 25 years old. That they come into our boutique. They get to put on some really... stylish clothing. They get to get their hair done, makeup, and at the end of their makeover, air quotes, they are offered workshops, and you know, we do outreaches and girls' nights, and you know what? We just have fun. We just love on them. We let them know that they're more than their past, whether it's something they've done or something that's been done to them.
Yeah.
And it's really and truly just, hopefully, the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, they see it. They can walk with us. You know, our workshops, we try to center our workshops around just the, you know, God making calm out of the chaos. Because, you know, the stories you hear, it just blows your mind to think that in our own neighborhood that the things are happening to children.
Yeah.
And we're oblivious to it because we're so busy with our own little lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Dude.
We've been doing it now for about 4 years, I guess.
Which is amazing because I remember when you kicked off this idea and it was this really rad thing that God just gave you, and you're like, here's what I'm going to do, and to see it these years later and how it's grown, I think is really cool because it can give somebody else out there who maybe has this idea that God's stirring something in them, they're like, but they don't know what to do with that, motivation to do something, because can you talk about Sunday?
Yes.
Okay,
sure.
Because to me, the coolest part about Sunday story was how it even got started. So tell us a little bit about what you guys were doing this weekend.
Well, this Sunday we did an Easter egg hunt at one of the local apartment buildings that's high risk, basically.
Yeah.
And it just so happened a couple of years ago, a young lady was brought to our attention that she had been prostituting and was going to lose custody of her daughter. And someone said, hey, if she wants to keep her daughter, she needs to be in an apartment. She needs to have furniture. So I just put out on our Aspen Project page, which is our other nonprofit that Project Zoe's branched from, and just asked people for furniture. And it was amazing. I mean, we had literally, we had an apartment full of furniture within 2 days.
That's great. Yeah.
So we brought, you know, we brought over a truck and unloaded, and we were blown away. We were like, what in the world?
Yeah.
We didn't even know this apartment building existed.
Mm.
So, you know, through a turn of events, Calvary puts on the gift and they ask us if we'd like to distribute gifts. And we thought, let's go to the community. You know, it'd be great to have a party and just give them out to at-risk kids, but let's actually go to where they are.
Yeah.
And we get to this apartment building and there are kids from, you know, refugee kids from Africa and all over the place, you know, little Muslim kids that are running around. And we thought, let's do something for Easter.
Yeah.
Let's share the gospel. Let's share, you know, okay, yes, Christmas is great, the nativity. And but let's, why? Why is Christmas so great?
Right.
Here, let's follow up with Easter. And this was our first time doing Easter. And we had probably about 100 people. We had about 10 people commit their lives to Christ.
Wow.
We had an Easter egg hunt. You know, we had someone donated a bike. So we were able to bless a young teenage boy. He was probably 13 with a dirt bike and literally handed him the bike and didn't see him again. He was gone.
See you later.
It was amazing. You know, and they're just little simple things. And if you look at photographs on our Instagram or our Facebook, it literally looks like we're in Haiti.
Right.
I mean,
no, seriously. I didn't know where you guys were.
It's 20 minutes away.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, going back to your point of, you know, if God's stirring something in your heart and oftentimes we're like, oh, I'd love to go on a mission trip.
Yeah.
My first mission trip, I was almost 40.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I was 40 when I went on my first mission trip.
You're not 40 yet. Come on. Stop it.
Yeah.
You look 27.
You're so sweet. But that was my first mission trip, and it changed my life.
Yeah.
But realizing that I can get in my car, drive 20 minutes away, and encounter the exact situations that are going on in third world countries.
So true.
So, it's easy.
Yeah.
Call us. Join us next time.
Yeah.
Which is, man, it's so cool. I just love that it just kind of happened organically. Like, you guys weren't like, you know what we need to do? We just need to go find some people who are needy so that we could just Christians and give them stuff because we're so...
We kind of do things on the fly.
I love that, dude.
Literally.
No, seriously,
people
man.
People were freaking out. We said, okay, we're just going to go to this apartment. You know, I think we have a place to put the grill. And folks are like, wait a minute. Okay.
Right.
Now, how long can we preach? And how long can we do this? And how long can we... And we were like,
right.
Just show up.
You know what, though? I love that dude, like a grassroots style where it's like, we're just gonna throw a barbecue, okay, but who's the event coordinator?
Right,
there's no event. Jesus, okay,
right, we're just gonna
the
love
Holy
on these
Spirit,
people
bro,
yeah,
get with us or get out.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, but in a more calm way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's
isn't
why I'm not
isn't
part
it crazy
of it.
Though we talk a lot about, you know, we have this like there's this pressure that we have to go out and just like tell everybody about Jesus. Hey, man, just go live your life and love
and,
people.
Yeah,
and God's going to open their eyes,
that's
their
right.
hearts, yeah, and they're going to come to you. It's almost every single time somebody comes to me, I have questions, man.
And I can't even tell you how many moms came up to me and just said, hi, this is my goddaughter. I have her because her mom's a heroin addict. Or
right.
this is my grandson. Or this, you know, extended family that has...
Yeah.
You know, a child, and I'm like, whoa, hi, I'm Michelle. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
But they felt, and that just goes to show you what the gospel does.
Yeah.
It opens people's hearts and minds, and they start going, these people really care about us.
Yeah. Yeah.
They came here. They didn't tell us, get on the bus, come to my church, and we'll give you some stuff.
Right.
And then send yeah. you out the door with your bracelet that says you already got something. Mm. You know, there right. were a few kids that probably got 18
extra.
Gifts.
right.
They would run back to their apartment and put it in the apartment. But we thought, you know what? How right. does Jesus give?
Yeah.
Freely.
Yeah.
You know, generously.
No, it's legit.
And it's
I love
just stuff.
It. And it's a reminder that sometimes it's okay to just shut up, which is really hard for me. But
me too.
Truly, like, if you're out there and you're just loving people and they're willing to open up and tell their story, mm-hmm. there's value in that because every single human being was crafted by this phenomenal God. And yet I think a lot of times we're so caught up in like, well, I have to tell them the gospel in this very moment. Like it doesn't, you know, and we just like bypass an entire human being's story.
Well,
and if they're willing to open
ignoring
up.
Ignoring them.
Yeah.
Right. It's really ignoring them and looking at our mission.
Yeah.
Well, if your mission doesn't involve them, then it's not a mission.
Right.
You know, it's really just about you and, I mean, what kind of fruit's going to come out of that?
Right.
I mean, the goal is, you know, fruit. It's furthering the kingdom. And people can see through that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's our thing. And that's why we do Project Zoe. That's why we have the girls come in. We have a one-on-one appointment with them. We want them to know you're valuable.
Mm.
You know, we totally reconfigured our boutique right now, made it so that everything in here fits you because we value you. We believe that you are someone and that God has a plan and a purpose for your life.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they look at me and go, oh, you don't know what I did. And I'm like, well, girl, you don't know what I did.
right. Yeah. right. No, it's so true.
And then they'll go, what do you mean? And I said, well, I was just like you.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you know, they want to come back. They're like, well, how can I get more clothes? And really, it's not the clothes. Mm. They come back and want to sit and talk, and they'll come back for a Bible study or a book study.
It's
and
phenomenal.
It
man.
Is. It yeah. is.
Clay was talking last time he was on about last year's prom and how these girls, they most of them feel like they there's no value, you know?
Right.
And they were a little intimidated by, you know, the boys that were going to be there. And so they show up and they have this amazing time and they just danced and, and there wasn't, you know, anything else. There was no pressure at
all. It's incredible what, like, I don't even want to say a makeover, but just like when you're sporting some new threads and like maybe a haircut or whatever, it's like, you feel different, right?
Right. And we sponsor girls and boys to come. And it's not that, you know, we're trying to create a, you know, a dating environment. But we do know that there are kids that there are boys that are also in homeless shelters. And so what we've done this year that we haven't done in the past is we've invited kids from homeless shelters, boys, girls.
Yeah.
And if they want to come and get clothes, they can. If they don't, that's okay, too. We'll just sponsor their ticket, put them on a VIP list so that they can just come in.
Yeah.
And this year, I think we've got about 40 kids.
That's incredible. Incredible.
That are going to come and enjoy prom. And it's what blows my mind about it is that we often look at these kids and go, oh, you know what? They're too mature. They've seen too much. They're too street smart. They're too this. We actually had some homeschool parents that called and just said, oh, no, excuse me. What kind of girls are going to be here? Because I'm sending my son. And I'm like, the same kind of girls he goes to school with?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the reality was, the kids had a blast because no one knew anyone.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to your high school prom, you know everyone.
Yeah. Right.
This, they didn't. They got to meet each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I had one girl that had a baby the week before and showed up. You know,
no
one knew.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, I had a girl that was like 9 months pregnant that was there also.
yeah.
You know, but she was on the dance floor.
Dude, that's so cool. I love that.
And we have tons and tons and tons of music. And it's funny because our chaperones, how we train them is, if you see anyone sitting down, Go get them. Tell them to go dance.
Yeah.
Go tell, you know, go talk to them. Engage with them. It's not like a typical prom where you have parents standing along the wall making sure you're not getting too close.
Right.
You know, we do tell them not to. But, you know.
Well, no, but that's
the
good.
The important thing is that we're making connections, that they feel loved while they're there. Also, we're not going to let this prom turn into just, hey, let's get them in and get them out.
Yeah.
We want to spend time with them. Even, you know, we had one girl that was really upset because there was a boy there that she liked and he brought someone else. And so we sat and talked with her.
Yeah.
You know, we loved on her. Even though she's probably going to look back in 20 years and go, I cannot believe I sat there for 2 hours and cried over that stupid boy.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But hey, there were people there that loved me. They prayed with me.
And that's what she'll remember in that moment. Because that boy will be gone from her mind.
Right?
But that will be a lasting impression.
Or she'll marry him. I don't know.
You never know.
You never know.
So, people that are listening, how do they get involved?
Yeah, we've had so many people chiming in. Like, one is a hairstylist that wants to be involved. What can they do? How can we volunteer? How can we give to Project Zoe? People are freaking out on you right
now,
girl.
Well, of course, we have a Facebook page. That's the best place to go to because that's very current. Our website has who we are, which is project-zoe.org.
Okay.
And you can purchase tickets for prom on Facebook and just see what we're up to.
Yeah.
Dude. And we've had a couple people already chiming in saying that they have some prom dresses they would love to donate
Please
as well.
Bring them.
Oh, that's cool.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9:30 to 12:30 are our donation days.
Project-zoe.org.
So Project Zoe, you guys are always looking for people to donate those beautiful dresses and clothes and all that.
Shoes, jewelry, mostly jewelry right now. We have a ton of dresses, but it's always nice to have a huge selection for the girls because oftentimes, and larger dresses. That's kind of the big deal for us right now because we have a lot of really tiny dresses, but you know, us girls, we come in all shapes and sizes.
I like the way you said that. That was good. Oh, man.
Well, thank you for coming in, Michelle.
Thank you for having
for real.
Us.
This Friday, Once Upon a Time, and I'm posting the Facebook page right now. I'm going to link it to our Facebook page.
There?
I mean, you know.
Come on.
I mean, you know.
Come on.
I mean, you know.
All right. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll give you all the details. Star 88 FM on our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Copyright infringement suit brought against singer Ed Sheeran over the hit Photograph has been settled in L.A.
President Trump sat down with nearly 24 CEOs.
Rex Tillerson arrives in Moscow.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions is touring the U.S.-Mexico border.
The future of in-flight cell phone calls is up in the air.
There's some bagged spinach that could bite you back in Maryland.
The spinach was purchased at Giant Foods. The couple had opened their bag of spinach to make their lunch when all of a sudden they noticed something crawling around. When they took a closer look, it was a scorpion.
A lawsuit claims hackers have been raiding the bank accounts of third-party sellers doing business on the Amazon site.
If you use a fitness tracker that records your pulse, you might be interested to learn just how accurate it is. None of the trackers got exercise heart rate readings that even came close to those recorded by an ECG.
A federal judge has ruled for the second time that a strict voter ID law in Texas was designed to keep minorities from voting.
Kay Ivey is the new governor of Alabama after Robert Bentley resigned.
The government health panel has followed the lead of several medical groups and dropped its opposition to routine screening for prostate cancer.
7:33, hello.
High today of 75 degrees. Yo. Traffic. Taking a look at the road, shall we? It looks like the traffic lights are fixed now. Unser Boulevard at Paseo, but still, you know, people like to keep it chill and slow going on the road today. Gonna chill and make it all the way to work. All right.
All right. All right. All right.
No accidents to report this morning. Looking good, but keep it all storming. Gonna happen because it's raining today. At least it looks that way. Don't know what to say. So, gonna keep it going with the news that's coming up. But right now, here's my boy Dex.
That's right. That's right.
You're supposed to flow, yo.
That's right.
Come on.
I'm just like the backup guy.
That's right.
Gosh.
That's
right.
Hey, butterfly.
It's called the hype man, and
I'm
you killed it
because
I threw it to you. You're supposed to at least like do a little like, even if it's just like four quick bars or something. Like just give me something, man. That's your look at traffic.
Guess what this week is, everyone? It's 911 Dispatcher Appreciation Week. Yesterday, we called 242 Cops.
Yep.
And the dispatcher was so excited, so thrilled.
Yeah, dude.
That we were, you know, appreciating her. We're thanking her. Because she, let's face it, they don't get that very often. They have a tough job.
They really do.
Of they course, really do. If you don't know, let's just play a 911 call. This is what a lot of these dispatchers have to deal with. This one's pretty. This is one of my favorites. This little boy, it was around Christmas time, and he wanted to call 911. So they could give the message to Santa that his dad is bad. My dad is bad, and I need you to tell Santa about it.
Nitro Police Department, what is the location of your emergency?
I got a child on the line asking for police.
Okay. Where are they?
Hello.
Yes, what?
Send a message to my dad. Send a message to Santa that will say that dad is being bad. So my dad been very bad. He really did. And so
okay, what is your
write all the way to Santa. Who? Write a message all the way to Santa.
You want me to write a message to Santa?
Yeah, and send it to Santa Claus.
How old are you?
4.
It's 4. Okay. And you want to
because I already had my birthday.
Oh. So this is like Brody. Brody's 4. This would be like Brody this calling 911.
This is exactly what he would do.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, so you want me to send a letter to Santa, tell him your dad has been bad?
Yeah.
Okay, what did dad do?
When you're bad, you get a big rock, you have to put it under your house.
Okay. Okay, well, listen, I'm going to send the police over there. Now, is dad home? I'll send the police over there.
Okay, okay, yeah. I just...
Wasn't that cute?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Wait a minute, I said you get a big rock when you're bad. I'll send someone over there to check.
Okay,
no. Oh, see,
but
and
what happened with the dad? What was he bad?
Yeah, he was bad. He was really bad.
Great.
Dad gets a giant rock for Christmas. That's what happens.
Hmm.
So who are we going to call?
Well, it's national. Okay, let's say this again. Dispatch 911.
If you would just listen to me.
Dispatcher.
911 Dispatcher Appreciation Week.
National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week is another way to say it. National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. Yeah?
Sure.
All right. Gonna make a call. You take the lead on this
one. Of course. Never call 911 unless it's an emergency. We're not calling 911.
I know, this
but
is non-emergency.
I'm putting it out there. I'm putting it out there because I know people... Like we hear all the time, are a dumb.
Thank you. Are you taking the lead?
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, I'll take it.
You want me to take the lead?
No, I will, because you did yesterday.
Oh.
Burnley County Communications, this is Marlene. How may I help you?
Hi, Marlene. This is Dex and Steve-O at Star 88.
Hey!
We do a morning show, and it's 911 Dispatcher Appreciation Week.
It's actually National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, Dex.
Right, okay, gotcha.
Gosh.
But we can't call 911 either,
obviously.
Because that's for emergencies.
Right. Yeah.
But we wanted to call you and just say thank you so much.
Yes!
Because you guys put up with so much,
uh-huh.
And we just wanted to thank you on behalf of our audience and anybody listening right now.
We know some phenomenal Bernalillo County sheriffs that do some rad work. Shout out to our boy Christian, great dude. And we so many. And so you guys are phenomenal. We just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to know, like, Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department, y'all are rad. Y'all take care of the good stuff.
Right.
What's the craziest thing you got a call on? I mean, craziest.
The craziest.
Craziest.
Depends on what you want to say as crazy.
Yeah.
That's very true, because we've been sharing stories this morning, and we just shared a sweet little 4-year-old boy who called in to 911 because he said his dad was being bad, and he wanted to make sure it got to Santa because Santa needed to know.
That's
and it was
cute.
Very sweet. So.
You guys get kids calling you every once in a while?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
We do. Yeah. We got one, a little boy who needed help with his math homework.
Yep, yep. And the dispatcher was very patient.
Yeah,
and
very. Very lovely.
Yeah, we've gotten some crazy stuff. People wanting to know what temperature you needed to put the turkey for Thanksgiving.
Oh!
One before.
Okay.
Yeah, so you just imagine it. We've had it.
There you go. I love that. That's incredible.
That is cool.
Well, thank you so much for your service and what you guys do, because you are very appreciated.
Well, thank you. Once again, we appreciate that as well.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's cool.
Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department.
Shout out.
That's the non-emergency number, by the way, 798-7000, if you would like to call them. Don't call them now, because now it'll just seem like you're copying us. But, you know, I meant for a non-emergency.
Only.
But not for, like, what temperature do I need to rock my turkey, yo?
Only call 911.
You call Butterball for that.
If it's an emergency. Now, we should probably elaborate on that, because everybody could say, well, my turkey, that's an emergency.
Yeah.
I need to know.
Yeah.
Life or death situations, that's an emergency. That is not a life or death situation when it comes to your Butterball turkey. Come on, people.
We're getting people chiming in right now. Can I make one more phone call?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Just appreciating everybody out there.
By the way, shout out to our amazing Starmie, the members of the Starmie, because we got a request to call this line. Because apparently they very much so deserve it.
Beautiful.
I'll rock this one.
Beautiful.
Can I help you?
Is this the Valencia County Dispatch?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That's where we would like to start. My name is Steve-O. I'm with Dex.
Hello.
We host a show on 88.3 FM in Albuquerque called The Morning Invasion. And it is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. And we had a listener send us this phone number and say, can you please call Valencia County Dispatch, because they do such a phenomenal job and deserve somebody to tell them thank you. So we are calling on behalf of listeners in Valencia County to tell you thank you so much for the phenomenal job you do.
Thank you so much for the call. We really do appreciate it. It means a lot to us.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've heard some amazing stories from people who have called, and what you guys do is phenomenal. And I know you guys deal with some crazy stuff.
You're very patient
on the huge. So it is. Yeah. It doesn't go unnoticed, man. So at the end of the day, like, do you just have to go home and like heavy sigh? Like, how do you get through it?
Well, I leave and I go to the gym, just try and get rid of all the stress and go home and just relax.
Yeah, man.
But usually, just when I think when I've seen everybody leave the building, I just hear everybody just a big. It's another day. Mm. Gotta come back tomorrow and do it again.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, what you guys do is absolutely vital to the community, honestly. Yay! And so. God bless you for what you do, because we understand. We work in ministry, so we get the sad stories of, you know, broken homes and broken situations, and we know that God is a God of restoration. And
And that's the only way that people be able to, you know, be mended again.
Yeah. Mm. Amen. So, dude, we just wanted to say thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Incredible.
Thank you guys so much for the call. Really do appreciate it.
All right. God bless you, man.
You guys have a good one.
You too.
Gosh, that's so great.
He sounded heavy, man.
He did.
We gotta think. We gotta realize. Like, imagine like every phone call you answer is got to be something like, tragic.
You don't
weird,
know.
Unsettling.
Right. Yeah, and just think about our police officers out there. You never know. They get that call to go to a house. They don't know what they're walking into, what situation they're walking into. That's a stressful job.
Yeah.
Ugh. That was a lot of pressure.
We're going to keep it going through this week, because now I'm like, all right, let's call our translator cities, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Bullboy's like, you got to call Las Cruces. We will, for sure.
Yeah, let me play another one of these calls. This is what some of these dispatchers deal with on a day-to-day basis. This happened in Missouri. A 47-year-old woman, she had to call 911 from her car after her gas pedal got stuck.
Mm.
She said she tried everything to fix it, but her car reached speeds up to 118 miles an hour.
I'm going like 80, almost 90 miles an hour out of the bed to me. And I'm scared to death.
Are you able to hit your brakes at all?
I'm trying everything.
Okay. Have you put your car in neutral?
I can't get it to move.
coming up on a bunch of cars.
Okay.
Oh, that is so scary.
Okay, calm down.
Oh, God, I have two semis.
You've got two semis. Okay, calm down.
Oh, God.
Okay, Laura, you see them? They're in front and one's in back of you.
I'm going to hit the pavement.
Listen to that dispatcher, how calm.
Yeah.
And they're trying to calm her down. And think about that. Your gas pedal is stuck.
I feel like I would be a really good dispatch operator.
No way.
No, man.
No way.
Watch. You be the lady.
I get to be the lady.
911 dispatch operator, what's your emergency?
My gas pedal is stuck.
What?
Oh
man, in the movies?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
How fast are you going, honestly?
I'm going 125 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh, that's like crazy. Are you okay?
Hello?
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? That'd be the first
line. I wanted to hang up.
Literally every single time.
I wanted to hang up on you.
It would literally just be like, what? Every time. That's crazy!
Oh my gosh!
Oh man!
What are you gonna do?
Oh, I remember that movie! And then I just started equating everything to movies.
I'm a huge fan of Keanu Reeves! I know how to handle this situation! Oh, you'd be terrible. Yeah, calm, collected. And no one was hurt, by the way. But by the time it was over, she had driven 59 miles and crossed over into Iowa from Missouri. She was driving a 2011 Kia Sorento and she had to weave through traffic for 35 minutes. Semis just weaving through because she didn't want to hit anybody.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, man. We appreciate you guys. I appreciate all of you that have a high stress job out there.
For real, man. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Let's use a new word every day.
A new word.
And now, today's word of the day.
I don't know if I want to do this segment.
Strand up comedy.
No, I don't want to do this segment.
Strand up comedy.
Yesterday, you did Cloud Plans, and I got in so much trouble.
Did you really?
So many people hit me up like, hey, what's up, Cloud Plans? And I was like, yeah.
It's funny. I was in the bathroom.
Seriously.
And somebody at work was like, hey, man, you want to go out and, you know, get some lunch later? You know, just making those Cloud Plans.
Ugh.
It's like, oh, maybe.
Yeah. Cloud Plans.
Cloud Plans.
I got hit up all day yesterday from friends. They're like, is this why we've never barbecued?
Cloud Plans.
Dang it.
Yeah, that was our word of the day yesterday. Today, it's strand-up comedy. Not stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Strand-up comedy.
Ugh.
What does that mean?
Gosh.
Steve? You're usually pretty good at these.
Yeah, I know, but this one's weird. I'm like, well, to be stranded somewhere, it's like you're left a place that is unfamiliar. So it could be like, you're venturing into new territory. Maybe you cracked an untimely joke and you just, now you're in a place that you don't even know where to go. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, you're a little off on that one. So strand up comedy is when you wake up and your hair is crazy.
What?
Example.
Okay.
My hair is pure strand up comedy in the morning. It looks so bad. It's why I'll never share.
It's like a rat's nest.
Yeah.
It's like a tangled web.
Yeah. I will never get married because, I'll die alone because I don't want anybody to see how I look. It's straight up strand up comedy.
Wow. Dex, tell me how that feels. You know, those days where you wake up and your hair is just like a mess.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's funny. It's real funny.
Yeah. I actually woke up like this. I was running late, so I didn't take a shower this morning.
Yeah.
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 Today was old deodorant day.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Yesterday, I was in the studio with Steven Christian and Steve-O, and Steven looks over at Steve-O and goes, oh man, your hair looks really good today. And I looked at Steven and I said, don't ever say that in my presence again. Don't ever say that again.
The best part is true story.
Yeah.
Not even kidding. I hadn't seen Steve in a while. I got a new haircut. And he said that, and you had this angry look on
your face. Been shaving my head for for quite a while now. I missed my
17
hair.
17 years.
Not completely bald yet, guys, but I'm thinning for sure. Uh-huh. And I really can't grow my hair out because then, you know, I look like a weird thinning bald guy. Yeah, it's weird.
Which is, it is weird because you're currently on like this meal plan to lose weight. And I'd feel like anything that is thinning would be good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
No problem, man.
Thanks for that.
I'm just saying. Your hair's got on the job, man. Uh-huh. Your hair got the memo about your diet.
It okay, is that's enough.
Trimming down.
That's enough.
It is slimming up.
Nope.
It is thinning out.
You know what? Cut his mic.
Strand of comedy is your word today.
I will never use it. Use that.
Use it. Use it. Use it or lose it.
Strand up comedy is the excuse for cloud plans. Thank you so much.
Yeah. See, they know.
Hey, somebody else just chimed in and said, isn't Steve-O technically a public safety telecommunicator since he does traffic every morning?
Oh. Yeah, I guess. I mean...
What do you mean, you guess?
I don't know if I would...
It's National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week.
Yeah.
Let's see what that means. It's the telecommunications personnel in the public safety community. Okay.
Making sure people get to work on time.
I do traffic twice an hour.
I don't get stuck in traffic. So, okay, maybe. I don't know. I mean, there's no stress in your job, though.
No. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
There's no stress.
Okay. Thanks, Chrissy.
Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. What's up?
Nothing. Oh, Hurricane!
Hurricane!
Dude, we just had a buddy from Ventura, California, try Rogaine. I don't know what I'm allowed to say or whatever on the show. So,
oh, you can say Rogaine. That's fine.
Yeah, dude. So he tried Rogaine, and for years, man, he was rocking just like the big bald head style. And he's got a full, healthy head of hair, man. You might want to look at that.
So he wasn't bald, and then started using it, and it grew back. It was.
No, he was bald.
No, he was straight up bald.
No, he started picking his head because he was going bald.
Come on.
And obviously it was an embarrassment to him. Mm-hmm. So he just had no choice but to take on that style. And he's got a full head of hair. I mean, I'll be honest, it's kind of weird to look at him because he looks young.
Because because everybody's different. Whenever they take things like that,
you're going to be okay, man.
Some people, it's not going to work. I would imagine most people take that and it doesn't work. But there's probably that chance where, you know, your hair is going to grow back. There's that probably 0.5% chance that it's going to work.
You're saying 0.5% chance?
Maybe.
Have you looked into it?
Yeah, a little bit because there's really? there's nothing out there that really says for a fact that this is going to grow your hair back.
You know? Well, I know for a fact if you don't try it 100% of the time, you're never going to get anywhere.
That's true.
Oh, snap.
That's true.
So anyway, buddy, dude, listen, man, if you try it and it works, you can find yourself in a strand-up comedy situation.
There you go, for real, buddy. See? Boom. He just used the word of the day. Later. Love you.
I missed that. Missed those.
I haven't heard from Hurricane in a long time.
Yeah. Strand-up comedy.
Strand-up comedy, man.
Miss it. Since we're just, you know, learning things right now, let's find out what's happening with
giraffe.
Our girl.
Oh,
God.
Watch.
It's a giraffe.
Guys, April, the giraffe, looking beautiful in the pit this morning. Another day gone. Believe it or not, April the giraffe is still Prego. Oh. When will she go into labor? That's the question everybody wants to know. According to Animal Adventure Park, not much has changed. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. What a waste.
They posted yesterday, April's condition remains the same. Happy, big, and beautiful. The zoo said in its latest Facebook update, she enjoyed extended yard time today in the warm weather and sun.
Okay.
Yeah, so the past few days, they have really opened up her pen, and she's just been in and out of her pen a lot. In fact, right now, she's in her pen, but they got the pen open so she can walk out. It's weird. They have a board up. I don't know what they're doing with Oliver right now, but we can't see into Oliver's pen right now, which is strange. So I'll keep you updated on that. Currently 155,870 people watching as we all wait patiently for this beautiful calf to be born. Thank you, Steve.
Brought to you by FarmAnimalsOnly.com. Boop. The number one dating site for livestock.
Beautiful girl. Beautiful. Okay. Just waiting for that calf.
Are you going to, if you decide to use that weird hair stuff, Dave the Drummer Dave.
Yeah, he's in my situation.
Well, I mean, his sister just chimed in and said that she thinks that you need to set up like a live head cam.
Oh.
Yeah, so that we get live updates all the time. Because once April has this calf, people are just...
What are we going to do?
People are going to need...
Yeah. I could have a head cam, helmet cam, and then just, you know...
And it's just like pointing at your noggin.
See if people can see my head.
The crazy thing is I feel like it'd be just like watching April because nothing is going to happen, man.
That's messed up.
Just saying.
It's not cool at all.
Somebody said, hey, I had a friend who used to say, God only made a few perfect heads. The rest he covered with hair. Somebody else said,
yeah, right.
Mexican snake oils, man.
Yeah.
Somebody else encourages you to rub onion juice on your head. That'll get your hair back.
Yeah, I remember when we did that for our YouTube show? I lasted 2 days with that stinking onion juice. It was so stinky. I couldn't do it, guys.
Listen, Tempe, Arizona just chimed in and said, stop it, Dex. Jason Statham, ton of UFC fighters, rugby players.
Bruce Willis.
They all shave their heads and look amazing. You keep CrossFitting, eating well, you're going to look like a beast.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Bruce Willis, man.
That's true.
I mean, come on.
It just stinks because I can't pick my head because I have all these ingrown hair, like red spots all over my head. And I don't know how to get rid of it. You know, my brother suffers from alopecia.
A what?
Alopecia.
Who's she?
My brother.
No, alopecia.
It's the type of skin.
Is that the girl
thing
from Purple Rain?
No.
Oh.
No. My brother can't grow a beard anymore. You think you're so funny. I'm trying to be serious about a condition, and you make a joke. Shame on you.
Purple Rain.
My brother can't grow his beard anymore because he has alopecia.
Yeah. I'll stop.
Unbelievable.
But I did have a really good one. All right.
So I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if that's what's happening with my head, but it's tough for me, guys. You know, it's tough. And I know there's some of you out there that deal with what I am going through as well. That's what keeps me going every day.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, I won't.
We're like that perfect buddy cop movie, man. You're like the rugged old Bruce Willis guy. And I'm like, I don't know, Colin Farrell. I don't even know.
Colin
Look
Farrell,
at this hair.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to do. I'm just going to.
Fabio over here.
Man.
Okay. We got to take a break. We have a letter coming up. We'll do some more headlines. Of course, we'll pay tribute to some more dispatchers out there. 585 Live if you want to text in. We'll be right back. Hawk Nelson sold out Star 88. DJ Bossman Dan came in and goes, you guys want to see some more birds dying? What? Okay. Because we shared
a video yesterday
on our Facebook page, and there was a funeral going on, and they were releasing these white doves, and, well, one of them flew right into a semi-truck.
Dude, it was horrible. We posted the video, of course, because it's making the rounds on YouTube. It's at a funeral, and they're like, this dove represents the Holy Spirit. It was like the Trinity, and they were releasing these doves, and then the third one, and it's just like... flutters straight into oncoming traffic.
And everybody was just in shock. Nobody said a word. They just... It was so uncomfortable. You have to go watch it.
What do you say, man?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's on our Facebook page. You're
this
welcome.
This dove represents the Holy Spirit. Feathers everywhere. It is 8:04. Good morning.
75 degrees. I'm a terrible person. Let's take a look at the roads, shall we?
Sunport Boulevard East between University and Yale. There's some construction going on over by the airport. Also, Wantabo Boulevard between Montgomery and Spain. There's some construction there. Unser Boulevard at Paseo. Traffic lights were flashing red this morning. It says they're still doing it, but we had a Star Army member chime in and say that they fixed it. So, still be careful in that area, regardless. That's your look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com, or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
Good Friday. You guys make plans to come on down to Calvary for a Good Friday. We'll have a special message from Skip Heitzig, some live music. Kicks off at noon, and United Blood Services will be on location for their annual blood drive. So if you would like to give blood and save lives, they'll be set up right out here in the parking lot. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, we would.
And then Sunday, a beautiful Easter sunrise service starts at 7:30, Lobo Stadium. We'll be there at 6:30, kicking things off. And, man, Jordan Felice going to be performing with Battle Drums Worship and an amazing message. So make sure you bring your family, bring your friends. It'll be a great time. 585 Live, if you want to text into the show,
we just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
First off, thank you so much for reaching out to us, guys. Telling us what's going on in your lives. What you're struggling with. Of course, we don't ever have to read anything on the radio. If you guys need advice, we know people. You know, we know professionals that we can get you in touch with. Or, you know, if we can help in any way, we would love to. So, studio@star88.fm. You can email us. You can always go to our Facebook pages and send us messages. You can text in, whichever. You can mail us a letter. People do that, too. All right, here's our letter. Feel free to text in 585-LIVE. I'm 30 years old, healthy, and have never had issues with this in my past. But lately, I've been getting extreme anxiety attacks when leaving my house. I don't know what brings it on, but especially when I get up and get ready to go to work. I get overwhelmed with hopelessness and depression. My heart jumps into my throat. My stomach sinks and I'm just fighting back tears. I feel like just giving up. This has only been going on since the beginning of the year. Again, I've never gone through this before throughout my entire life, but I don't know what to do or how to even find help for this. I can't afford healthcare right now because I have my daughter in daycare, which is hard enough financially already. Please, any advice, or if you could even throw this out on the radio to see if anyone else goes through this or has, and what they've done to get over it. Thank you. 585 Live, you can text in or call us at 338-3700. We have a 30-year-old man who has a family, never dealt with this in his life, but has anxiety when he leaves his house, has depression, where he almost can't even leave his house anymore.
Man, first of all, obviously, Dexter and I are idiots with microphones. We are not qualified in any way to give psychological or doctoral advice. But here we go.
But here we go. But we will do our best because I can almost relate to this in some ways.
Oh, I 100% can. So
yeah, we know a lot of you out there can as well. So anything that maybe you've done
and
to
also,
help.
Man, shout out to the members of the Starmie who are like, hey man, need some help, and are willing to share their lives with us. That's pretty huge. I immediately caught one thing. He turned 30. 30 years old this year.
Right.
That's literally the first thing I heard because I'm going to be completely honest. When I turned 30, I had a full-on meltdown.
Man, I'm glad you said that because I didn't have a meltdown.
Oh,
but
dude. No. Like, I seriously... I wasn't here at the time, actually. I wasn't working here at the time. And dude, it was not good.
it like not good for my marriage, for the family, for anybody. Like, seriously, I was having anxiety attacks and I didn't fully understand what was happening. And I was overwhelmed with everything.
Because you were 30?
And it really came back to like, I was in this weird place where I felt like I hadn't really accomplished anything. Mm. I hadn't done anything. And all of a sudden it was like, yeah, the shortness of life all was kind of like, it freaked me out, dude. And it was a really, really difficult season. But I had to be honest and I had to open up to friends and seek the right counsel, you know, because I think there are people with good intentions that love you, but can sometimes steer you in crazy directions. It was great.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Yeah. I dealt with that when, I don't know if it, when I turned 30, I freaked out, but in my 20s, I was so looking forward to my 30s.
Really?
Yeah. I was always looking forward to it because Leslie and I had kids when we were 23, 24 years old, and nobody else had kids. We were these young parents, and we could never find any couples out there that were in the same boat as us. So I was always looking forward to, man, I can't wait to get into my 30s so I can relate to some of these people that, you know, have families. And it just never bothered me to get old. I, in fact, was looking forward to it. Then I hit my 30s, and something happened where I just was freaking out over, oh my gosh, I'm 32 years old now, and same thing. What have I done with my life? And I don't have any savings.
Sleep has a lot to do with it too, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If you're not getting, and that's where it began with me. I wasn't getting a regular amount of sleep. I couldn't process things, and little things became big things, and I started having anxiety. A lot of people are chiming in already, right away. I'm so thankful for this because, back in the day, you couldn't really talk about depression or anxiety a whole lot within the church because it was like, but we have the joy of the Lord, and that's our strength, and we're just going to be happy all the time. And I think that false narrative is probably part of the reason why you see so many people now in their 30s who are going through this, because growing up in church, it was like, just give your life to Jesus and everything's going to be happy and perfect and lovely and wonderful. And we're coming into this place where we realize life is difficult. Life is hard. And God's word tells us those things. Like, it's not all going to be rainbows and sunshine and glory and happiness right now. Like, we have to learn to be content.
Yeah. 3-3-8-3700. Thank you for holding. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So I really felt the need to call in. I've been suffering with extreme anxiety my entire life, and I'm only 23. But it was so bad to the point where I was praying to God to kill me because I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. Mm. And I didn't like to talk to people. I mean, I wasn't suicidal, but I was just so fed up with it. And so finally, I just opened up a little bit, and it happened to be just to the right person. It was my aunt, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say what she gave me. It's not like drugs or anything, but
go ahead, talk. I mean, this is your.
So what? Mixed with a healthy diet and exercise, I started taking Minchex through Standard Process. It's a like a whole food supplement that they. It's just natural. Everything's natural about it. And you could take as much of it as you want. And I started taking it, and it just started helping with that feeling of anxiety that you get. And, you know, once you start taking care of the feeling, mentally your mind starts to get better. Mm. But, I mean, anxiety is such a hard thing to deal with because sometimes it ends up bringing out depression because you're tired of feeling, you know, helpless. And I used to hate going to church too because I was so jealous of how happy everyone seemed and joyful how everyone seemed, and I just didn't want any part of it. But ever since I started taking this, eating right and exercising and just being healthy, it changed everything for me.
Isn't that weird it can be so simple as maybe your diet?
Right.
And because we eat all this processed junk and all this fast food, and that really can lead to us feeling depressed.
Yeah. A lot of people chiming in. And somebody said, my wife's going through the same thing. It's to the point where she can't drive or be alone. For her, it was diagnosed as a thyroid issue.
and she's having it removed at the end of the month.
Wow.
And that's the very first thing. If you really are dealing with these, if you're suffering with depression or anxiety, you absolutely need to seek a professional. You need to see a doctor, because it could be something like a thyroid issue.
Isn't it weird? Because the guy that emailed us, if you're just joining us, we got an email from a listener who's 30 years old. He has a daughter. He's married. And he's never dealt with this in his life until now. He has extreme anxiety attacks when leaving his house.
Yeah.
He said he gets overwhelmed with hopelessness and depression. My heart jumps up into my throat. My stomach sinks. And I'm fighting back the tears, he said. I feel like just giving up. And this has only been going on since the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Never gone through this before in my entire life. He doesn't have health care because new daughter, and he's just, you know, dealing with financial stuff. But anybody else out there that has gone through this, please, he wants some help. And it's weird because I've dealt with some things that I never dealt with, growing up and even in my 20s. When I get on airplanes now, I get anxiety. I get claustrophobic, and I've flown all my life and I've never had that happen to me. And all of a sudden, I'm at the point where I'm almost having an anxiety attack in a plane.
Right.
And I have no idea why.
I do not do well on airplanes anymore. And I think it's because when I was a kid, there was like this mysticism behind it.
Is that what it is?
Whatever. No. Well, for me personally, because that's the way my dad died.
Yeah.
Oh. Was in a plane crash.
Yeah.
And now as an adult, like the uncertainty of it.
Sure. That makes sense.
You know, because I'm going to be honest as a human being. I know where I'm going, mm-hmm. right? And so I should have peace about the fact that God's got it, right? However, I'm also a father who grew up without a father. My dad died when I was 6 years old, and I have kids. And I I will get that anxiety because I think about what life would be like for them.
Mm.
And that's no bueno,
yeah.
You know? And so, somebody chimed in and said, you know what, on Stephen was saying about how Christians would say you shouldn't be depressed because you have the joy of the Lord, blah, blah, blah. That's not biblical. There were a lot of people in the Bible who were extremely depressed. They said, read the Psalms, man. Jeremiah, he was called the weeping prophet. He was always crying. Elijah asked God to kill him. I actually found a list of 7 biblical figures who struggled with deep depression. David was the first one on the list. He battled deep despair in many of the Psalms. He wrote of his anguish, his loneliness, fear of the enemy, his heart crying out over sin, the guilt he struggled with because of it. We see his huge grief in the loss of his sons in 2 Samuel and other places. His honesty with his own weakness. But it has given hope to those who also struggle. I mean, it's in there for a reason, you know. Elijah, discouraged, weary, afraid. Jonah, angry, wanted to run away. Did run away. And then in the end, after the people of God, or after the people of Nineveh hear God's message and turned him, he doesn't rejoice. He gets angry. You know what I mean? And so Job, obviously, I mean, he suffered through great loss, physical illness, devastation, and was, you know, man, ready to call it a day.
Man, it's crazy. We forget about all of these huge figures in the Bible, these people we look up to that have these incredible stories, and they all have dealt with it.
Well, how about this one? Christ himself. He was anguished over what lay before him. In fact, Isaiah tells us that he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He understood our weakness, and that's why we can say we have this God who gets it, man, you know, who did this, who walked this, and understands our weaknesses and our suffering, our times of temptation, our times of despair, because he traveled the road and accomplished it without sin, you know?
Yeah.
At one point he was praying so hard that he was sweating blood. You remember that?
Yeah.
His soul, as he said, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Man, yeah. Sweat drops of blood, man, in Luke 22. So, but it's just a reminder that for those that are struggling, for those that are battling, for those that are dealing, one, you've got to seek help.
you absolutely have to seek professional help.
What if you're in a situation where you financially can't afford that, you have no health care?
I will Google it right now, because I remember for me, it was immediately like, well, I can't pay for a quote psychiatrist, or there are biblical counselors here on staff here. You know what I mean? And this is just one church in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
There are many. Seek counseling.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, there's no like, quote, cost to that.
Right.
There are people around you that you can reach out to. Do not despair. You are not alone. You are not the only person going through this. You're not the only person who's gone through this, and you're not the last person that's going to deal with this.
Yeah. Yeah. We all do, man.
If anything, it just reminds us that we are all humans. You're not broken. Like for me, I was always like, man, I am broken. Because of all of the baggage, because of all everything I carry with me, I am broken. And then I had to remember that, like, nah, dude, I'm just a human.
Yeah.
I'm a human. And yeah, that does include brokenness, because we were born into sin and we're kind of a mess. You know what I mean? But we got to own it. You know, like, you just have to and realize that it's just part of it.
Yeah.
It comes with it, and we don't have to despair.
Yeah. I'll be completely honest with everybody right now, and I don't know if I've even shared this before, but recently, and this has been going on for, 4 or 5 years, I have felt so, I don't know how to even say it. I've wanted to just run home, you know, at times. So, you know, when you just want to, you want to run to your mom or your dad, and you just want them to just hold you and tell you that it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I've felt that recently, you know, like just with the stress of life, just the typical financial stresses and the things that, you know, the average person goes through. I've gotten to the point, I'm 30, almost 38 years old. I just want to jump in my car and run home to my mom and jump in her arms and just have her tell me it's going to be okay. You know, I've called her before, you know, in the past few months, just to hear my mom say, it's going to be okay. You know, and that helped so much. You know, for me, I deal with anxiety at times, you know, social anxiety, and breathing helps so much. If you can learn to breathe properly in through your nose, out through your mouth. I had a therapist that helped me with my breathing, and that changed so much. That helps.
A member of the Starmie chimed in with a phone number, 277-3013. I will say, I know not a whole lot about it. There is a crisis center here in Albuquerque called the Agora Crisis Center, and that's what they're for. They're literally there. They're a trained crisis hotline. They specialize to provide compassion, and it's part of this national network of crisis centers for suicide prevention lifelines that help people who are just struggling, who just need to like share their heart to talk to somebody.
This guy, 30 years old, he has a daughter. It could be you're overwhelmed with having to be responsible now for a child. I remember feeling that way when I first had a kid. It's a lot, and so financially you have that burden. And you know, just leading your family in the right way.
Yeah.
Those are all.
Yeah, dude. No, I mean, you nailed it.
Yeah.
30, new kiddo, like, and with a new kiddo comes lack of sleep. And I seriously think that's a good place to start. You gotta get some rest. Yeah. You gotta rest your mind. Somebody chimed in and said, at 21 years, I was experiencing these same anxiety attacks. I was afraid to leave. I wasn't sure what I was afraid of or what I would encounter, but anxiety was there. As soon as I was about 2 to 3 hours into my shift, I'd be fine. I'd still get the attacks, but not as bad. They were triggered by stress and a mind that is not at peace. My doctor said I needed better sleep and an outlet for stress. My mentor in the church told me I need to find peace in spirit, praying and reading the Bible, because I could be battling in spirit. Prayer helped me the most, because I needed peace of mind and a strong spirit. Stay strong. Pray for your daughter. Pray for yourself. Pray for the people around you, so that there is peace around you as well. God is on your side. Man, so many people chiming in. Somebody said, in my 20s, I suffered silently with anxiety for 2 years. I got to the point where I could have stayed in my home forever, but I knew the enemy of my soul would destroy me. I finally told a friend at church who was a counselor. She gave me Philippians 4:6-8, told me to read it all the time. So I read it constantly.
I was not setting my mind on the right things, and God used this scripture to set my mind on the right things. Within 3 months, God completely healed me of my anxiety.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that.
Somebody said, I've learned through counseling and dealing with depression and abuse that God wastes no pain. It's hard to see through the fog right now, but that's something for them to realize. Yeah. Somebody said sometimes disorders like generalized anxiety disorders do not fully manifest until the late 20s.
Wow.
Somebody else said, great, I'm turning 30 this year. Now I have anxiety about turning 30. You got this, yo.
You got it.
Somebody else said, went through the same thing, and Psalm 37, 1 through 11 has really helped them. Yeah. Somebody said, I'm about to turn 33. I've never married. I don't have kids. Time is ticking. My sister asked me what did I want for my birthday? And I just started crying.
Oh man.
Yeah.
585 live, 585-5483. If you want to text in or call us at 338-3700.
And people are just chiming in with their feelings, which is rad, man. Yeah. Somebody said, I'm going on 30. I'm already feeling like you, Steve-O. I haven't accomplished anything and currently severely depressed. So we just got to remember, man, that prayer.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I'm hearing a lot more of this since January, .. President Trump, .. But in all seriousness, I have no advice for this situation. Thanks for the text, man.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody said, in reference to the email about anxiety, acupuncture and herbs, they help a ton with anxiety and depression. If money's tight, there are community clinics in Albuquerque that have treatments available. Really does help. Simply Google Albuquerque acupuncture community clinics. There's also the Southwest Acupuncture.
Yeah, I've had a couple friends that did that, you know, and yeah. You know, just hitting those pressure points, you know, like can work wonders.
Yeah.
So maybe look into it.
Somebody said people take medicine for sick bodies, but it's also for sick brain tissue. Don't shy away from medicine. It's an option just because of the stigma. Don't shy away.
That's, right. Yeah. But be very careful.
Oh, absolutely.
Very careful.
Absolutely. You got to consult a doctor, man, yeah. Obviously. So, you know, the Sarmi is just trying to be helpful and chime in. So, but I get it, man, because, I mean, do you go through this too?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, all the time. I mean, yeah.
All the time, man. Especially in my 30s. Especially now. Even recently, like I said, I get overwhelmed with life, with my kids.
Yeah.
With marriage, with friendships, with even just work sometimes.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, it just gets overwhelming. And like I said, I feel like I just want to give up.
Yeah, no, I got it. I get that way. And I feel so mad. I feel so angry. I feel so calloused. So lost, confused again. What? Feel so cheap, what? So used, unfaithful. Let's start over. Can you do Boxcar Racer right now?
No.
Sorry, did I just totally waste a moment?
Can't. No.
Sometimes.
585 live.
Wish you were stronger.
Oh my gosh.
No?
No, I don't
Tom
know.
Tom DeLonge knows, I mean, those, what you're
those
going
are,
through.
Those tonight. Are powerful, powerful words.
They actually are. It's one of my favorites.
Tonight.
You started like, people started like chiming in like, well, sometimes it just feels so, and I'm like,
empty.
I feel so. I feel so by Boxcar Racer. It's going to cure everything. That's all you got to do. Listen to Tom DeLonge, man.
Oh gosh.
Tonight, you're going to get through it. I yeah. promise you. Because I feel so mad.
We got a letter.
I ruined it. Fine.
A 30-year-old man, healthy, never had these issues of anxiety and depression until now. Just, you know, recently, he can't even get up and go to work. He gets extreme anxiety attacks when leaving his house. He doesn't know what it brings it on. He says he gets overwhelmed with hopelessness and depression. My heart jumps into my throat. My stomach sinks and I'm fighting back tears. I just feel like giving up. So they're really asking for help. Anybody else out there that has gone through this, is going through this, what did you do? Financially, they don't have health care. So.
How about this one? A pastor prescribed this for depression at their church. 1, exercise regularly. 2, read large passages of scripture. And 3, think of one thing every day to be thankful for. It has pulled them through some very tough times.
I love that.
That's free.
585 Live. Beautiful stuff, guys.
Tonight. Cause I feel so numb. I feel so. Okay.
We'll be right back.
What's going on in the news today? copyright infringement suit brought against singer Ed Sheeran over the hit Photograph has been settled in L.A.
President Trump sat down with nearly two dozen CEOs.
Rex Tillerson arrives in Moscow.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions is touring the U.S.-Mexico border.
The future of in-flight cell phone calls is up in the air.
There's some bagged spinach that could bite you back in Maryland.
The spinach was purchased at Giant Foods. The couple had opened their bag of spinach to make their lunch when all of a sudden they noticed something crawling around. When they took a closer look, it was a scorpion.
A lawsuit claims hackers have been raiding the bank accounts of third-party sellers doing business on the Amazon site.
If you use a fitness tracker that records your pulse, you might be interested to learn just how accurate it is. None of the trackers got exercise heart rate readings that even came close to those recorded by an ECG.
A federal judge has ruled for the second time that a strict voter ID law in Texas was designed to keep minorities from voting.
Kay Ivey is the new governor of Alabama after Robert Bentley resigned.
The government health panel has followed the lead of several medical groups and dropped its opposition to routine screening for prostate cancer.
I'm in love with my life. 8:40. Good morning.
Oh, hey, yo.
Hey.
How you doing, dog? I'm in love with my life. High today of 75 degrees. Taking a look at the roads, there are no accidents to report right now, which is great news, Albuquerque. You're doing a good job today. I think, seriously, the only problem this morning has been the traffic light working incorrectly. But that has since been remedied as well, so we all good, ABQ? That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Oh, man alive. Thank you for texting into the show. A lot of people chiming in on our letter that we got. This 30-year-old man dealing with anxiety, depression, never in his life has dealt with this until recently. And he has a daughter. He's married. Finances have been tough. And he said when he goes to leave for work, when he tries to leave the house, he gets overwhelmed. He gets extreme anxiety and is wondering, what is going on?
Yeah.
Does anybody else deal with this?
A lot of people.
Almost everybody has dealt with this. And
or a family member who has.
Yeah. And again, you know, we're not doctors. We're not professionals. We ask you to always seek that out first. And that was another question. He said, I don't have health care. Financially, I can't afford it. And so I don't know where to go.
Well, here's something somebody chimed in with just now. The DBSA ABQ. It's Depression Bipolar Support Alliance. It's a group of people that meet just to talk about what they're going through. It helps to have people to talk to that can relate to your situation. Yeah. Anyone can go. It's free. You can just Google it. The DBSA ABQ. So there we go.
Yep. You know, sometimes just relaxing, breathing, like I said. Maybe it's the people you're hanging out with, too. You know, sometimes you got to really take a step back and evaluate your life and figure out who's pouring into me. Am I having people that encourage me and lift me up, or am I having people that are doing the opposite?
Yeah,
that can bring you down. Maybe it's your diet. I mean, this guy said he's very healthy. He eats good, and that doesn't seem to be the issue. But maybe you are dealing with a bad diet. You're eating a lot of fast
food. You really
food.
Could. Yeah, sugar. Could be all that. Yep. Sugar, man, especially like processed sugars. Like,
yeah.
I'm telling you, man. So
that make you feel depressed.
Elizabeth chimed in and said, what people may not know is that a person suffering from anxiety becomes fearful of the feelings they experience. I used to have anxiety of like going to bed at night, and then I started getting anxiety about getting ready for bed because I was anxious about becoming anxious.
Wow.
Yeah. No, for real. She's so right. The fear builds upon itself. Like fear builds on the fear, and it's just this, it's cyclical and it's that's why setting your mind on the things that Philippians 4:6-8 teaches us is helpful. And that's what Elizabeth said. She always shares that with others who suffer because it's so true. So you set your mind on something else.
Reading scripture, man. Meditating on the word constantly.
Or getting out and doing something for someone else. Because I think sometimes, like the idea of being anxious and then becoming anxious over becoming anxious builds upon itself in your thinking about you. And it's a great way to get your focus off of others around you that need help.
Yeah.
And so one way is to go out, maybe volunteer your time somewhere, go into the community, do something for someone else.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, we've been doing this morning. I'd love to take care of a couple of these. It's National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, and we've had a few people chime in and saying, hey, man, would you be willing to honor these people that serve in this community? And so I got a call to make.
Make a call.
Got to make
Steve.
A call. Hoping Lieutenant Mike answers.
Yeah, we appreciate the hard working Americans out there dealing with the stress, the stupidity of just people.
Albuquerque Fire Department, this is Will. May I help you?
Hi, Will. We were looking for Lieutenant Mike, but Will, you will do, my friend.
Okay.
My name is Steve-O, and to my right is Dex. We are with the Morning Invasion morning show here in Albuquerque. And I don't know if you knew this, but it is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. And we got a text in from one of our listeners who said, could you please call the AFD Alarm Dispatch Center? They gave us the non-emergency number because they just wanted to say thank you so much for the hard work that you do. They had specifically said to tell Lieutenant Mike, I guess on duty right now, thank you.
That's correct, yeah.
And they wanted to know why it's called the alarm room. What's it? Like the ticker tape, the alarm pull boxes? There's a lot to your job, man.
Absolutely. You know, the history of the alarm room, it goes back to the alarm that's set when we send out the units to any emergency in the city. So that's basically where the name comes from. So we are sending the alarm out to the emergencies, answering the call to all the emergencies that people are experiencing in the city. So
wow,
that's awesome.
Well, we don't want to take up too much of your time because obviously we know it is vital and you do such a phenomenal job with what y'all do. So we just wanted to say thank you so much for your service.
Thank
because
you.
You guys.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate
man.
It.
All right. God bless you, man.
That's cool.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying, man? You get what I'm throwing down?
I got to send a shout out to our boy, Jory. He has chimed in every day for like the last week asking for a song request because he just said, hey, I have anxiety because my song request hasn't been played. Jory, I love you, bro. We're never going to play your song request.
Never.
He wants to hear 40 by U2. I'm like, that's a great song. We don't play that song.
Yeah.
But it's a great song.
It is a great song.
It's called iTunes.
338-3700 or YouTube.
Yeah, that's true.
Good morning.
YouTube.
Good morning, Joseph. This is Cheryl.
Oh, you know what, Cheryl? Cheryl.
And Steve-O. Sorry.
Hi.
Cheryl is a dispatcher.
Oh, really?
That's right.
I am a telecommunicator.
Hey, thank you so much for your service and what you do. If you're going to call him Joseph, you have to call me Steven.
Okay, Steven and Joseph.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. I like calling Joseph because that's my son's name, too. I love it.
It's a beautiful name.
I mean, it's all right.
Stephen's a beautiful name, too, because it's my best friend in high school, and he was a great, a beautiful man.
Thank you. I am. Wait.
Cheryl. Cheryl, you deal with some crazy, crazy people every day, I'm sure.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for putting up with that. You know, that's a tough job. That is a tough job. And I'm sure it's a job that you probably don't get a whole lot of thank yous very often.
No, rarely. But we do get a few. And for those, we do appreciate it. And even when we're getting called every name in the book, we still do our job as professionally as possible. And we're grateful that we were able to help them, even if they liked it or not.
There you go. Yeah. See, I feel like you probably get more like, well, thanks for nothing. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you. What's the craziest call? Can you share a call that was a little cray cray?
Well, when I worked in Louisiana, I had a call where I work at now. But when I worked in Louisiana in dispatch, I was talking to a man who was telling me he was getting shot at. And I'm listening to him getting shot at.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And he's running around a truck trying to get away from the guy that was shooting at him.
Oh
my gosh.
And he
did he live?
Oh yeah, he lived. Oh. Like my deputies got there in time and I got to hear them tell the guy very forcefully to put the gun on the ground with a whole bunch of extra words in between.
Wow.
So did the guy end up like running out of bullets and then that's how, you know?
I don't know, but it was crazy.
I don't know what it was about. All I know is he's saying I'm getting shot at, and then I hear the gunshots, and I'm like, where's the guy at? Right in front of me, shooting at me. And I go, well, what are you doing? I'm running away.
No. Wow. That is crazy.
Run wherever you're safe. And it was like crazy.
Yeah, and you have to be calm and collected and just... I mean, we've been listening to some of these 911 calls, mm-hmm. and we are so impressed. You know, this woman, her gas pedal got stuck. And so she was driving, weaving through traffic at speeds of over 100 miles an hour, and she couldn't stop the car. And this operator was sitting there just calm and just talking her through it. And she ended up driving almost, 80 miles or something? And finally she was safe and fine, but she was so calm.
You know what we do is we put the mute button on and we're going, oh my gosh, in the background.
Man, yeah. Oh, there you go.
Beautiful.
See? Man. And we get back up and we're like, everything's going to be okay, ma'am.
Yes. Cheryl, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you so much for calling
in. I want to shout out to the Albuquerque Police Department telecommunicators and the Albuquerque Fire Department. Because we're sharing the week. And our supervisors are doing special things for us, and it's really great.
That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Bye, Cheryl.
Well, thank you.
Love you.
Great. All right. You scared me, man!
I had no idea you were here either.
Gosh! For those that listen to the podcast, go back a couple minutes and you hear me go, you seriously scared me.
I'm sorry. I've been here for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just standing here. You guys.
I felt this smell and I was like, what smells so good? And then I looked and I saw you and you were just glowing. You were like, and your hair was like
Thanks, guys.
Gold. It was like gold flakes falling from your hair.
See, you know what happened? It's like Beetlejuice because that Cheryl just called in. She was calling you Joseph. I asked her to call me Steven.
Oh.
And when you say Steven three times,
yes.
like Beetlejuice, he just appears whether you want him to or not.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Welcome. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Steven Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Hi.
I got to work a little early today. I thought I'd drop by.
Good. Yeah,
make your show exciting.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve-O and I occasionally will join Steven on his little show on the weekends.
On the weekends. People don't even realize you're on.
That's such a mom move.
What?
How is your little band doing? How's your little radio show?
Well, it is. I mean, you're not on very much.
I mean,
it's little.
Just Saturdays and Sundays, 2 to 6, number one, Arbitron rated.
That is a lie. That is not proven at all.
No, it is not.
We do not get the ratings.
We do.
No.
I don't even remember who I was talking to yesterday at the baseball fields, but I mentioned that you were on the radio on the weekends, and they lost their minds.
That's
and
awesome.
I was like, 2 to 6, Saturday and Sunday. So I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
He really is there. And
it's a good show, man. Yeah. You guys are missing it. Hours of laughter.
Well,
I mean, mainly at the music we play, but you know.
You know, I mean, it's okay.
Really?
It's all right. You know, I mean,
really?
You like to put our show down a lot.
I do. It's a
very
favorite
jealous.
Pastime.
I think it's a jealousy issue.
No, I just your little show is cute.
A little show. Oh. I don't know about that. Come on, man.
Yep.
So what's going on? We were talking about depression a little bit.
I tried to move away from it so that it wouldn't be such a downer.
Yeah, it is a downer for sure.
40 minutes talking about it.
But you know, you are a very happy. I mean, I don't hang out with you all the time, so I don't know if that's all you're like that all the time. But you are a very positive, encouraging person.
Thank you.
So, do you deal with depression, anxiety? Was there a point in your life where you found out, like, oh my gosh, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah, it actually runs in my family. Depression does, and it takes it. It's with me and my brothers, especially. Not so much my sister, but the three of us. And what happens, like, every 3 months, for whatever reason, it's like I call it a reset. Your body just needs a reset.
Yeah.
And there's like a 24-hour period where nothing can go right in my life. You know, it'd be like, you won the lottery. And I'd be like, well, I don't care.
Mm.
You know? But I think that there's a lot of, I've kind of body hacked, I guess, you know, in a way that what I do is I do two things. Like, that's the time when I start feeling it coming on. I start exercising like crazy, like get out, run. And then the next thing that's always helped me is put one foot in front of the next and put the next foot in front of that one. You know, just go live life. You have to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what I want to do is just sit in bed and just stare at the ceiling and and, you know, take it out on my wife. Because that's what I do. I feel so bad, but I do. With my wife, it's just kind of like she takes the brunt of it because she's the closest one.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish I could just send her away. Like, here's a, you know, all-inclusive paid trip somewhere for 48 hours. Yeah. Come back and I'll be back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, until then, you know. Yeah, it's tough, man. Depression, because there's no cure. You know what I'm saying? Yes, there's pills and yes, there's treatment and yes, there's things that you can do.
Diet exercise.
You know, yeah, body hacks or whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, you know, and I've also read, you know, because it was always intriguing to me, like, why do I feel like this? But it says that sometimes your brain needs a reset, you know, and that some chemicals need to be released. And but who knows, man? I don't know. But I know that, you know, we're not the first people to ever deal with depression.
Yeah.
Right.
It's been going on for thousands of years.
Steve-O brought up all these huge biblical characters, you know.
Seven suicides in the Bible.
Yeah. Wow.
Seven suicides and, you know, and, you know, even some of the great men of our the forefathers of our faith.
Yeah.
In the last couple hundred years, they've struggled. Yeah. One guy that co-wrote the hymn book that Amazing Grace was in, his name was Cobelt, or C-O-W-B-E-L-T. He tried to kill himself with a ballpoint pen, and the pen broke off. Like, this is like a couple, 200 years ago. Then he tried to hang himself, and the nail slipped.
Oh my gosh.
And he ended up, you know, back and forth. And all the while writing hymns that are found in our hymn book.
Yeah.
You know, and then ended his life in a mental institute. So, I mean, and these are people that, like, we not aspire to be, but we read their poetry on a regular basis through hymns. Isn't that just fascinating, though, you know?
Right.
And so I just want everybody to know, especially Christians, just because you're a Christian, it doesn't alleviate you from things like depression or thoughts of suicide. The difference that we have that the world doesn't is that we have hope to cling to. You know, I just can't imagine life without knowing, like, Jesus has got my back,
you know?
And that's a tough place to be in, but... For those out there that feel like, well, I must not be a good Christian because I'm struggling with this. Man, it's all through the Bible. You know, Elijah, when he won a huge victory, what's the first thing he did? He ran and hid behind a rock a couple hundred miles away because he thought the queen was after him. He was just kind of like, God, take me now. I mean, that to me is like, you know, after a huge victory, you should be on a high, like, oh yes, thank you, God. He had just, you know, that was the whole story about, you know, they built the altars and he was like, where's your God? Taking a break and dump water on my altar because my God, huge victory, right? He runs away, hides, and is just kind of like, God, just take me now. Like, it's over.
Yeah, he saw the power of God.
He saw firsthand a fire that's burned up his altar that he poured water on, and yet he just ran. Yeah. And that's not like a couple years later. That's like instantaneously. Right. Huge victory. Help me, God, just kill me now. You know?
Flock of seagulls.
I don't even
know the reference. He ran so far away.
He's been doing this song thing all morning.
It's gotta get away.
Anyway, so I just,
By the way, his name was William Cowper.
Yep, that's him.
Yep.
That's him.
I'm reading about him.
Yeah.
He was in a mental institution.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Periods of insanity. He had crazy dreams. He believed he was doomed to eternal damnation.
Yeah.
Rich Mullen, somebody just chimed in with Rich Mullen struggling with alcoholism.
There you go.
So anyway,
Stephen Christian, give the details again on your show.
Oh man, I'm just
people are freaking out, and people keep chiming in saying your show rocks. I love it.
It's Monday through Friday.
Okay, wait. Oh, sorry.
For whatever reason, my mic cut off. Let me give the details one more time. It's gonna be. Okay.
I don't know. What's that? Check. Hello.
Check one. Check one.
I guess his mic isn't working. Is it there? That's weird how that happened.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
All right,
I don't
understand.
Love you guys.
Love you too, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
All right.
He does that to us all the time, guys.
All the time.
All the time.
But I love if we're on campus, we'll just bust into his show. So
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Anyways, it's 2 to 6 Saturday and Sunday.
It is.
You can get Stephen Christian.
He's so great, and he plays good music. So
he does.
Yeah. Like Boxcar Racer.
What? No.
Because I feel so mad. I feel so angry. You really don't know the words.
You don't know the words.
I do.
All right, we got to take a break. 585 Live if you want to text into the show. We'll do some headlines coming up. Also, you can apparently live on a farm rent-free.
Maybe
if you're dealing with anxiety, maybe this is what you need to do. Go live on a farm. We'll talk about that when we come back. Lael, big or smaller? Star 88, good morning. Dex and Steve-O. 905.
High today of 75 degrees. Traffic! Got some road construction going on. Montaño Road Northwest at Culture. Also, I-40, the frontage road west between 4th Street is going on right there with 12th Street between Indian School and Manal as well. That whole area of I-40 frontage west between 4th and 12th. The right lane is blocked between 6th and 12th. Just stay away, yo. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
This Sunday, Easter Sunrise Service. Come and join us. Come and hang. Come and be a part of the fun.
Heck yeah.
We're going to be there starting at 6:30, kicking things off. The Sunrise Service starts at 7:30. Battle Drums Worship, going to be performing with the very own Steve-O.
What?
Where are you at, wingman?
Do you really want me
finish
to say Jordan
words.
Fleece?
Thank you.
Okay.
You know, sure. Tag team back again.
Rex and effects and let's begin. Yeah. Party on, party people. It's
Jordan Felice, guys. Jordan Felice.
TC's in the house. Jump, jump for
Steven
joy.
Christian.
Party over here. Party over there.
Tam.
Everybody
quality
in
Tam.
The house. Shake your derriere.
Dex and Steve. A beautiful message from Skip Heitzig. So make plans. 7:30. It's early. We know that. Bring blankets. It'll probably be. I'm hoping that it's going to be nice and warm because it is starting to warm up. I got to work this morning. It was 55 degrees. Last year, we had Easter Sunrise Service in March. So make plans. Easter Sunrise Service, Jordan Felice, Morning Invasion. Let me ask you a question, Steve-O. Would you live on a farm rent-free?
That's a good question.
Have you ever been to a farm or had anybody that you have known that grew up on a farm?
I think I would get so bored.
Bored? Are you, what? Why would you get bored?
Oh, man.
What? You'd get bored?
Because in real life, yes. In real life. So, Chrissy grew up, she's from Clayton, New Mexico, and her dad was a cattle rancher, and she's, like, all about that, like, small city life and wants to live on a farm.
Yeah, growing up on a farm is a lot of work.
Getting itchy.
Is a lot of work.
Yeah, I know, but then what do you do once the work's done after
there's always
sun
work,
up?
But there's always work, man.
Thanks, Clark Kent. I'm just saying, like, I would be so bored.
I felt really bad for my friends, because growing up in Montana, a lot of my friends grew up on ranches or farms.
Yeah.
And they were always working, especially on the weekends and in the summertime. It was just a nonstop thing. They were just constantly working.
Yeah.
There's always things to do, especially depending on how many cows you had, chickens, horses, whatever it was. I mean, it was just, it was a lot of work. But I ask this because there is a farm that you can live rent free.
But you got to work.
But you got to take care of the animals.
Hmm.
A 62-year-old guy named Stephen Overbury owns a farm in Ontario, Canada. And he's offering to let someone live there rent-free for the rest of their life. All they have to do, just take care of all the animals. He posted an ad last week looking for animal lovers who might be interested. His farm has a nice big house, several barns, a lot of land. Sounds like something out of Smallville.
I don't know.
But he's getting too old to take care of the place and wants to move to Japan. That's weird. He has cows, sheep, chickens, and ducks. He's thought about selling the place and having them relocated, but some of them are old. And, he cares more about them than he does about money. He said he'll even pay all their food and vet bills. It's in a pretty remote area, about 40 miles southwest of Ottawa, and it gets really cold in the winter, so it definitely won't be a cakewalk. So here's a guy who, you can live there at my farm rent-free. All you got to do is just take care of my animals. Just feed them.
You should forward that to my wife and children.
And, you know, at 37, 38 years old, I'm sitting there going, man, that sounds like it would be That I could use that right about now.
Dude,
that
multiple sounds people are like free farm life,
relaxing.
Yes. Brandy said, "Sounds like a great offer. I miss the small town life."
Yeah.
Somebody else said, "There's too much work to do on a farm to get bored. Then you eat, sleep, and that's it. That's how you get rid of it. You sleep off the exhaustion." But yeah, that's like your whole life.
Yeah, you know, cleaning up all the poop,
pass,
shoveling all the poop, and feeding and watering, and you know, just taking care of all that is like a full day's work.
Oh, pass.
Every day.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's tough. I mean, the country life is it's a good life, but it's a hard life.
Somebody says, "What grows in the freezing tundra of Canada?"
Oof.
Somebody else says, "I would do it in a heartbeat." That sounds awesome. Sounds awesome.
I hear you.
Sign me up. Not this city boy.
Yeah, he says he lives in a pretty remote area, about 40 miles southwest of Ottawa, and it gets really cold in the winter, so it's not going to be a cakewalk. He says the right person has to be extremely compassionate, know what they're getting into, and be young enough to do all the work it takes to run a farm. Already he's gotten hundreds of applications in the last few days.
Where can people sign up?
But he says he'll just stay if he can't find the right person to take over.
Ugh.
Let's see here. Let's see if there's an application on this little website here. Yeah, it doesn't say anything.
You're telling people about this, and like most people are.
Yeah, Steve, there's a thing like called Google, and all you got to do is just Google the story.
Well, I feel like if you're listening to your favorite morning show, you would trust that just the host Google would at least have live
on a farm rent Googled free it. If I take care of animals, and I guarantee you it's going to pop up. It's gets super easy. It's called Google or Yahoo.
Somebody else said, "Country life better than staring at a screen."
You know, yes. How many people out there have that job that they just hate?
Yeah.
Working on a computer in a cubicle.
See, and I thought of the phone. I thought they were referencing like just always being on your phone or something. There's like a blend, because when I was in New York, you're not really ever on your phone, but it's still the busyness of the city. I love that.
You got to think too, though. I mean, somebody that takes this job, yeah, this guy's paying for the food and the vet bills if anything happens to the animals.
Okay.
But what do you get to do? You get to work, you get to live there rent free, but how do you make money is the problem. That would be the issue that I feel like a lot of people would face.
You wouldn't. What you are trying to do is build up life experience to then one day maybe have your own farm. How are you going to get that farm? I have no idea, because you don't have any income.
Yeah. Right.
But, yeah.
You know, this guy just wants to move to Japan and retire. Doesn't want to deal with the farm life anymore.
Yeah. Somebody said it wouldn't be any different than taking care of three kids under five and a husband.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
I'm telling you guys, if you ever have the opportunity to go up north to Montana, that is, go in the summertime. Do not go in the wintertime. Stay away. It is awful. You'll die. New Mexicans can't stand the cold like that. I almost died last time I went home.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to be able to go out in below freezing weather without a jacket growing up. Now I can't. I almost died when I went home in the winter. It's terrible.
Man, the farm life. Would you really give up all this wonderfulness for the farm life?
You know, if I could feed my family, if there was a way that I was making money off of it, you know what? Maybe. Possibly. And it all depends. I have kids, too, so it says a pretty remote area, so yeah. I would want to know, like, you know.
You would go crazy.
Where's the closest school? And, hey, man, all I need is my Wi-Fi, and I'm fine. I'll do my chores and
see,
then
that
I can
sounds
go back
boring
and
to
relax
me.
And just hang out with the fam.
When I was, and I always reference New York because I just loved there. Or even in just vacation anywhere, maybe say Disneyland, something. I wasn't on my phone at all. But that's because there was so much around me that I was just into, wanting to hang out, wanting whatever it was. I feel like that would be the antithesis, because I really would probably just be like, well, time for Netflix.
Yeah.
After a long day of Milk and Bessie. Ugh. Ugh.
I hear you, because there's a side of me that's just like that, and then another side of me, as I get older, I want to move back to Montana and just live the quiet life. But that's a part of me. The other part wants to be I want to live in the city.
Yeah.
You know, I need all the flashy lights and, you know, I need things to do.
I want real sports.
Yeah, right? Yeah, because growing up in a small town, it was tough. Because there really isn't a whole lot to do.
Right.
It's a different way of living for sure.
Man.
So there you go. Maybe that's you out there. Maybe you're listening. Maybe you need to apply. Go and do it. Take it out.
Get that farm life going.
Get that farm life going. Go take care of the chickens.
Okay. Well,
share them chickens out there.
We had a Starmie member chime in earlier this morning, and they are irate. Wanted to know if we'd be willing to talk about this.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. They wanted to know if we have talked about the Judas of coaches.
Oh.
Paul Weir.
What?
Betrayer.
Oh, man.
The evil one.
Is that pool boy?
No, actually.
Oh.
There's another member of the Starmie who's listening down in Las Cruces, New Mexico. For those that don't know, last spring, Paul Weir, he went from an assistant to his first ever head coaching position at New Mexico State University, Aggies. Bleh. Now, he's going to replace another first-time head coach recently ousted. That being from the University of New Mexico.
Oh! Yeah, Lobos!
UNM announced on Tuesday it hired Weir to be its 21st men's basketball coach, taking over for Coach Neal. 4 years ago, Coach Neal assumed his first job as a head coach when he replaced the other Judas of coaches, Steve Alford. Miss you, man!
Miss you!
I miss Alford so
Those
much.
Those were the days.
Well, Coach Neal was fired on March 31st. And Paul Weir has accepted the gig. He's going to receive a $625,000 compensation package in his first year. He and UNM agreed to a six-year deal, but the contract is still in the works. Weir will receive a $300,000 yearly base salary with other money for endorsements and public appearances.
So crazy, man. For being a basketball coach.
Oh, what do you mean?
That's ridiculous.
You're ridiculous.
Dude, that is. I mentioned this a while back. It's like the whole college thing and how much money they make.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That fires me up a little bit. I mean, I'm happy for him that he's going to make that much money, but, man.
He took in
MSU
to the dance, yo.
Think about the teachers, man. Think about these people out there that really put their lives on the line. And
Dex is an advocate for teachers, man. He believes the children are our future.
Man, you are just singing.
Take
this
them
morning.
Out and let them lead the way.
You are singing.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Don't you think that's a little ridiculous? I mean, it's cool that he gets paid that much money.
Okay.
But that's for college basketball in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
That's insane. That's more than the president of the United States yearly salary.
I don't like talking money. Because to me, it's not insane. To me, it's a worker's worthy of his wage. And if he's going to do something for this program and the program's like, millions of dollars, then wouldn't you want a head coach that's going to take it to the next level, that's going to do something? And don't you think they are
worth
that?
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I think, of course,
he's worth that. Let's pretend
you
have a top shelf morning show. I'm just kidding.
Don't get me wrong when I say I agree. I would hope that, yes, that's what he is worth. Except there's so many other people out there that are worth that as well and aren't making anywhere close to that.
Yeah.
Probably won't even make that in their lifetime.
Yeah.
That deserve it. You know, look at our military, man.
You see,
the Special Forces, Navy SEALs, they those guys are sacrificing their lives, leaving their families, and then what, they make 45 grand a year? It's just ridiculous.
A Starmie member chimed in and said, to me, it's a mismanagement or a misalignment of priorities at universities.
Yeah.
Their education program should be worth far more than their sports programs.
Yeah, man. It's, and then Coach Neal, you know, they have to buy out his contract, which is $1 million. So Coach Neal has been making, I don't know this for sure. I thought when he signed on, it was like $800,000 or something is what he signed on. I think, I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But, $1 million to pay off his contract.
Somebody said, Dex, your inner Bernie is coming out for a stroll.
Oh, here we go again. Feel the burn.
Feel the burn. Somebody said, wow, he gets paid that much? Meanwhile, I have to think twice when I'm going 2 for $20 with a friend at Applebee's. Somebody else said, meanwhile, state workers are in danger of going on furlough because of money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. He's getting a big old check.
Good for him. I mean, yeah. That's cool. And you know what? For the basketball program, that's great.
How come you don't get mad at like Robert Downey Jr., who makes $40 million on a movie?
Who says I don't? I feel like that's ridiculous as well.
But if you're in a film that's making hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's the hard part about all of this. It's where all the money they're making.
It's not their fault.
Think about the college, UNM. They make a ton of money.
Right.
So who gets the money?
And wouldn't it be good for the university to have a solid sports program? Because then it could potentially draw more people to said university.
Mm.
Hey, look at this. We're a top 25, blah, 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 whatever.
Sure.
Oh, dude. I want to go to school there.
Listen, I just want to spread the wealth around.
Oh, gosh.
That was a joke.
Somebody give me.
That was a joke because somebody called me Bernie Sanders. Okay, that was a joke. I don't really mean that.
You ask for it. You ask for it every time.
I never said to spread the wealth around. That's not what I'm talking about, guys. I'm not a socialist.
I was like, I'm a socialist. Are you kidding? I love talking to people. I'm always out in the community. Yeah, maybe I am a it means something totally different. My bad. Something totally different. Yeah, so all that to say, people in Las Cruces very angry. People in Albuquerque, not so much.
Yeah.
They're actually not so upset. Although,
of course they're upset. And they don't want to lose that coach. He's a great coach.
Yeah.
That's why the Lobos got him.
Yeah. Maybe you should have offered him more money. yesterday, moving on, speaking of Bernie Sanders and politics, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer.
Did you see this?
Oh,
have you heard this yet?
Okay, are you kidding me? I was at the old comic book shop yesterday, just, hanging out at the old water cooler. Astro Zombies. That's seriously like I feel like I talk more real life stuff at the comic shop than anywhere else.
That's funny.
And it was like, did you guys see what Sean Spicer just said? Oh, what a dumb. And I'm like, oh no, here we go. I'm not a huge fan of talking politics, but here's the deal. He has said some dumb things. And this is not a like partisan statement, my friends. It's just fact. Yesterday, he may have topped off all of them. He was trying to justify President Trump's airstrike on Syria last week by insinuating that President Bashar al-Assad is worse than Hitler.
We didn't use chemical weapons, too. You know, you had someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons. So you have to, if you're Russia, ask yourself, is this a country that you and a regime that you want to align yourself with?
Thanks. I just want to give you the opportunity to clarify something you said that seems to be getting some traction right now. Quote, Hitler didn't even sink to the level of using chemical weapons. What did you mean by that?
I think when you come to sarin gas, he was not using the gas on his own people the same way that Assad is doing. I mean, there was clearly. I understand your point. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. There was not in the. He brought him into the to the Holocaust Center. I understand that.
Oh.
But I'm saying in the way that Assad used them, where he went into towns, dropped them down to innocent into the middle of towns. It was brought to it. So the use of it. And I appreciate the clarification. That was
you're
not the intent.
At that point, you just need to go.
It's like, dude, just stop talking.
Don't try
and clarify.
I'm going to leave.
You're making it worse. You're making it so much worse.
I'm going to just walk away.
Because,
now.
Of course, Hitler did use chemical weapons to kill millions of people in concentration camps. Which another reporter obviously quickly pointed out. He tried to dig himself out.
Yeah, that was.
But unfortunately, like, I think he had the handle in. Up top, and he was trying to, and it ended up going further. After the press conference, he immediately released a statement
saying, quote, in no way was I trying to lessen the horrendous nature of the Holocaust. I was trying to draw a distinction of the tactic of using airplanes to drop chemical weapons on population centers. Any attack on innocent people is reprehensible and inexcusable. He then actually went on to CNN and offered a real apology, called his comments insensitive and appropriate and a mistake, which is good, because yeah. I was like, dude, stop talking. Oh my gosh. You can't.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, man. They're saying he might get fired over this.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people are calling for his job.
Yeah, it was pretty unfortunate what he said. And then I just, like, you just cringe listening to the audio, because it's like, you know, obviously he realized the mistake he made immediately. It was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
And then he was trying to, like, backtrack, but it was too late. And he's just making it worse and worse. Because, like, dude, you're still trying to equate. Stop trying to equate the Holocaust.
Yeah, man. That's anytime you bring up Hitler into a conversation.
Right.
Oh,
no, I know.
That, just stay away from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
we just move on. You just want to move on? Let's just move on. In fact, I would like to move on. I would like to not talk about the subject altogether, because I don't want anything to be misinterpreted. It's that sensitive, man.
I know. Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. That would be a tough job to have.
Yeah. Obviously.
And I'm talking about Sean Spicer. I'm talking about the White House press secretary. If they're looking for somebody,
should I put my resume in? Do you think I would make a good White House press secretary?
No.
Shimon, man.
You would just melt down so easy.
Oh, dude.
Did you see?
Just 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes as the press secretary. I would love it.
What's the Kiefer Sutherland show that's out?
Oh, yeah. I'm not caught up, but yeah. Designated Survivor.
Yeah. That situation where, you know, they had a Sean Spicer type of guy.
Yeah.
And he was doing the same thing. And you need somebody that can, who knows how to speak
eloquent.
Well, very eloquent with their words.
And they think about things before they say
yes.
I would be perfect.
No.
Could you imagine?
No.
Come
Stop
on,
being so racist.
Man. I would love that. I could do it. Speaking of people getting new gigs, this is crazy. There's a little band out there called Korn. You may have heard of them. Our boy Brian Head Welch, guitar player in said band. Fieldy, the bass player. Solid believers. Really good dudes. They do a lot of work with the Whosoevers. Well, Fieldy is taking a break, man. So Korn has hired a new bass player to join the tour. And it's a 12-year-old kid.
12 years old to play bass in Korn?
Here's the best part that blows my mind. It doesn't matter that he's so young, because he is a phenomenal bass player. He also happens to be the 12-year-old son of Robert Trujillo, Metallica's bass player.
Who's Metallica, man?
Get out of my life.
Who's that?
His name is Ty Trujillo. He's in a band called The Helmets with three other kids. Yeah.
This is him right here.
Oh. Wow. 12 years old. He'll be performing with Korn on their South American tour, which includes dates in Colombia, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, and Peru later this month. Fieldy can't make it due to unforeseen circumstances, so we don't know what that means. They said, we're bummed Fieldy can't join us on this run, but excited to do a few gigs with a young player like Ty. We look forward to welcoming Fieldy back when we return to the States in May.
That's cool.
Dude.
That's awesome. I love 12 years old. I think that's great.
Son of Robert Trujillo, the bass player for Metallica. Metallica!
Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. 585 Live, 585-5483 if you want to text into the show. We'll be right back.
Congratulations, you've earned a listening bonus. A pterodactyl orders in the drive-thru.
Welcome to the drive-thru. Can I take your order? Sir, this is for cars only.
Keep listening to earn your next listening bonus. Thank you.
The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
No.
No.
Hey, what's going on in the news today?
Copyright infringement suit brought against singer Ed Sheeran over the hit Photograph has been settled in L.A.
President Trump sat down with nearly two dozen CEOs.
Rex Tillerson arrives in Moscow.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions is touring the U.S.-Mexico border.
The future of in-flight cell phone calls is up in the air.
There's some bagged spinach that could bite you back in Maryland.
The spinach was purchased at Giant Foods. The couple had opened their bag of spinach to make their lunch when all of a sudden they noticed something crawling around. When they took a closer look, it was a scorpion.
A lawsuit claims hackers have been raiding the bank accounts of third-party sellers doing business on the Amazon site.
If you use a fitness tracker that records your pulse, you might be interested to learn just how accurate it is. None of the trackers got exercise heart rate readings that even came close to those recorded by an ECG.
A federal judge has ruled for the second time that a strict voter ID law in Texas was designed to keep minorities from voting.
Kay Ivey is the new governor of Alabama after Robert Bentley resigned.
The government health panel has followed the lead of several medical groups and dropped its opposition to routine screening for prostate cancer.
Good morning. Dex and Steve-O,
939. High today of 75 degrees.
Traffic!
You like pause. As if you were.
You just don't even know where I'm
going.
You don't know where I'm going.
I wasn't sure. There's construction on I-40 Furnace Road West between 4th and 12th Street. There's also construction 12th Street between Indian School and Manal. So that's kind of jamming things up there. There's also road construction. The left lane is closed. Montaño Northwest at Culture. There's also some road construction. The left lane is closed. Okay.
I get the point.
I get the point.
You have weird pauses.
My bad. I played football. My bad.
Wow.
You can't blame football.
Oh,
for
it's
your,
football's
like,
fault.
Head injury.
That
trauma,
is football's
whatever.
Fault. I know it is.
Okay.
So I like to pause, man. I just like to pause and think about my words before I speak, Steve-O.
You'd be a great White House press secretary, it sounds like.
I'd be the worst. There's no way.
I want that job, man.
No, you do not.
Why not?
No way. You kidding me? Dealing with all those reporters? I would never take questions. Do you have to take questions?
Dude, yeah.
No, man.
Fire away. Come
I'd
on.
I'd be like, no questions today. Goodbye. And I just walk out.
Watch this. We have no comment at this time. Jeff? We have no comment at this time. All right. Susie? Uh-huh. Right. Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, at this time, we can't comment on the situation until we have the facts. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Roger? Uh-huh. Okay. I would love to. Unfortunately, at this time, like I've said a few other times, so we have no comment at this time about. Okay, cool.
You're amazing, dog.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Thanks, man.
You know what? Maybe you could do the job.
No comment.
That's how you do it, man.
That is how you do it.
Hey, no.
You deflect.
No comment.
You got to deflect.
No comment. But I feel like there would be an issue that a reporter would bring up, and you would just you have no self control at times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like you couldn't help yourself.
That's not true.
They'd be like, stick with the script, man, and you would just Iron Man it and go up there and tell the world that you're a superhero.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'll stick with the script.
I can stick to the script. Come on.
I'm Iron Man.
Do you know how many times I've got a hilarious joke like locked and loaded in my brain and then think, I'll get fired for this one, so I don't?
Hey, I'm not saying that you don't have those moments, because you do.
On the huge.
You do. How many times have we been in the boss's office this month? And we're not even halfway through.
What? I've never even seen his office. I didn't even know the boss had an office.
Okay, not
stop
even
trying
specifically.
To paint it in a bad
how many
light.
Times have we met with the boss this month?
Seven.
Okay. There it is.
But as he said,
case
that was
closed.
The number of completion. He just had to get finished with those.
That's not true at all.
We're good.
No.
Isn't that what he said?
No, that's not it.
We never have
it.
To talk about these things ever again.
That's not it at all.
And here you are bringing it up.
Well, sometimes I just got to bring you back to reality. You know what I'm saying?
Ugh.
Did you have anything on the live line you wanted to share before we move on?
No, I'm good,
anything
man.
Good? Okay. No. All right. Because we
just got another letter.
One. No way!
We just yep. got a letter.
Wait, what?
We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
What'd you say? No wait? Or did you say no way?
I said no way!
Okay.
Why?
Well, you I don't know. I couldn't understand what you said. Thought you wanted to do something maybe before.
No
letter. Okay. You know, with Easter coming up.
What?
People have questions. My wife and I have been discussing if we should buy Easter baskets for the kids.
That's good.
She loves the idea of the kids waking up to giant Easter baskets full of candy and gifts. It's almost like having Christmas in spring. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. As Christians, should we buy our kids Easter baskets?
Oh, man.
Also, what's the age when you stop buying Easter baskets for your kids?
This is a good one.
This is really, really good. Really good. My wife and I, we kind of got into it a little bit when the kids were younger over this because there was definitely a part of me that thought, man, the whole meaning behind Easter is really getting diluted with gifts.
Do you buy Christmas presents?
Yeah, we do.
Weird. I feel like you're diluting the birth of Jesus. Do you have a Christmas tree?
Yes.
Oh, you pagan deluder of the truth.
I think Easter and Christmas are different, man.
How? They are both celebrations of our Savior, whether it is his birth or his resurrection. What's the difference?
Because, man.
Nah, bro.
Christmas is all about giving.
Okay.
Easter
next
isn't
question.
About giving.
Michael, okay. Oh. Uh-huh. Okay, see there, it's because Easter, if we're celebrating the reason for the season, which is Jesus, then it is okay if we want to celebrate in a way that we also allow our children to enjoy in it, and it shows them, like, man, Easter, this is something important. Uh-huh. Reminds them. Okay, cool. Next question. Joseph.
Yeah, I had a question.
Yeah.
Isn't Christmas different than Easter as far as how we celebrate Easter and Christmas?
Okay, well, this is America, sir. So we all celebrate in different ways. And if some families say that they want to celebrate with Christmas traditions like presents and the nativity and cookies and whatnot, then that's the way they're going to celebrate. We're not going to tell America how they should celebrate. But if you would like to give Easter baskets to your children, surely I believe that would be acceptable. Okay, next question. Okay, so right. I'm sorry. Moving on. Okay. Next question. Julie.
Oh.
Julie, yeah? Okay, Julie, that's racist. No comment on that. And
I have a question.
Sorry, could you ask her to?
I have a question.
Yeah, Joseph, last question.
What's the age when you should stop buying Easter baskets for your kids, if you do so?
Okay, well, for my kids, we don't do Easter baskets because we're not pagans. But for you, I would say 47 because you look like a family of pagans who just enjoys the most evil things on the planet.
Wow.
You need to get out of here. That's it for me. Sean Spicer out.
Yeah, he'd do terrible at that job.
I'd be an amazing press secretary.
No, you didn't last very long.
I did a really good job.
Nah, not really.
I feel like America would love me. We don't give our kids Easter baskets.
Why?
I don't know. We just don't.
But why?
We've literally never thought about it.
But everybody does.
Not everybody.
Yeah, huh?
Why? We've just, honestly, it's not because we're like, oh, well, that's pagan and that's disgusting and blah. It's simple. I don't know. Because we were a young family and we were broke. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, nah, man.
You guys do, did you ever do the Easter egg hunt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still do that. Mariposa Park, every year, Pastor Jason Dickinson over at Harvest, they always have like a monstrous Easter egg hunt.
Yep. I took Landon there last year.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Not really.
Oh. We were there. We were there.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Those big Easter egg hunts, I think if the kids are really little, I think that's kind of fun for the kids. But for Landon, it was, here's everybody get in a circle, and we're going to put a bunch of eggs out on this field. We're not going to hide them. And everybody rushes as fast as they can to pick up the eggs. That's not an Easter egg hunt. An Easter egg hunt, you hide the eggs so the kids
can't see
them.
I know. That made me crazy.
Right.
There's just 1,000 Easter eggs.
Yeah, and it's like, everybody run and grab as fast as you can. And then you got the parents that are stupid and kick kids and trip them.
I think it's generational because our boy Thigpen out in Brooklyn. Brooklyn, shout out! Said my grandma stopped giving me Easter baskets when she died. If she were still alive, I'd still be getting them at 36.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, he said, that's the age I am. The age that Dex guessed correctly on Friday, despite being given the buzzer by this guy. Yeah, I know. You guessed his age correctly. He's 36.
36.
My in-laws still get the boys Easter stuff. And maybe it's a generational thing. Because growing up, I got Easter baskets, yeah, and we did the egg hunts and all that. And then and honestly, being very real, Easter's a lot of work, bro. We are working all weekend.
Yeah. You're and talking so, specifically for people in ministry.
Yes.
Like I said, it's like the Super Bowl
the
for
last
churches.
Thing I'm thinking about is like, oh, but I got to get this giant basket with all of my free time for my kids. So we've just never had that tradition, honestly. Like, we just...
good. I think that's good that you didn't, because it can be hard for parents to make sure that the meaning of Easter doesn't get trampled over by just getting that sweet Easter basket with candy.
Yeah. I mean, every year I do buy myself an Easter video game. Does that count? Like 60
no,
bucks.
That's
just for me, you know, to make up for Nana being dead and not getting me a basket.
Well, we both agree that there's nothing wrong with giving Easter baskets.
No.
I think it's, you just definitely, for us as Christians, we believe this is what Christianity is all about. Without the resurrection, Christ rising from the dead, we wouldn't be Christians. We wouldn't call ourselves Christians. We wouldn't believe in the Savior who conquered death.
There would be no purpose for the hope found within us.
So like, I call it the Super Bowl, man, because this is why we do it.
Every day is the Super Bowl when you have Jesus, Dex.
No,
you would understand that.
It's not at all.
Oh my gosh, you can't say that, Sean Spicer. Think about what you just said. You just said every day isn't the Super Bowl with Jesus. Oh man.
Yeah, but that takes away everything that you said earlier about depression.
I know. Come on, man. Why are you going to fact check me? Next question. Next question. I would be a dope White House press secretary. I'm getting the job. Somebody said, I love Easter. Since we were kids, we've been going to my dad's ranch. We hide Easter eggs in the trees and the old corrals for the horses and cows and let all the kids hunt Easter eggs. That's cool. Somebody said, man, great point, Dex. No more Christmas presents for my kids either, spoiled brats. I can't wait for this on Sunday, because this Sunday we're doing the Easter Invasion. We're going to be broadcasting live starting at 6:30 a.m. From Lobo Stadium, and we will have the live line. And we're going to be doing stuff like this, like Easter traditions.
And Steve-O's dressing up as a bunny.
I just joked.
Can we get bunny costumes?
Oh, dude, no.
Can we please?
No,
we
will not.
Would they allow
not.
Us to just go up there?
Hey,
just hop
Spicer,
up on stage?
Turn your mic off and leave. Put your headphones down. You're making it worse.
Can we just go up there with holding carrots and just hop up on stage?
Only if the very first thing, I knew it. I was just about to say, if you kick it off with, what's up, Doc? You're like, Bugs over here.
I'll be Elmer Fudd. You be Bugs Bunny.
Oh, my gosh. You can't. No, no. Besides, if anything, you're more Yosemite. No, you're Elmer Fudd. No, that's about right. I guess I'd be more Yosemite Sam, huh? Angry Texan.
Oh man.
Somebody said our church is doing a kids' carnival on Easter Sunday. After focusing on the resurrection all month, our church attendance almost triples Easter Sunday.
Mm.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday.
Free Nintendo Switch.
Wow.
And actually, that does happen. I've seen churches where they want to get people
hey,
and they raffle off prizes.
Get butts in the seat, man. Get butts in the seat. That's what it's all about, to hear the message. If it takes giving away a Nintendo Switch to get a butt in the seat, I'm all about it. I'm okay with that.
Somebody said, why not celebrate the first day of spring with baskets instead of on Easter Day, so you don't take away from...
Yeah.
Somebody said, Easter is about giving, Dex. Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. Give a basket, yo.
I want to give a...
No. I have to say this, because Tempe, Arizona said, Steve-O would be a great White House press secretary. Accessing his inner Tom DeLong. I would be phenomenal.
No.
It would be really rad, because people could like watch me, and then they'd be like, dude, It'd be like bingo. They could have White House Press Secretary Steve-O bingo.
Yes.
And it would be song lyrics. So it'd be like, what song do you think he's going to incorporate today? Turn my mic back on.
What song?
They're like, dude, there it is. Losing a whole year. Third Eye Blind. Boom.
Okay.
Gosh,
I don't encourage
him.
It's
happening.
Please don't.
Hashtag Dex and Steve-O Bunny. Somebody said.
I would like to give a shout out to Uncle Skip. Rest in peace, man.
Wait.
Uncle Skip used to put $50 a $50 bill in.
You realize we're talking about Sunrise Service?
What?
And our boss.
No.
Pastor okay. Skip. And all right. of a sudden you're like,
no.
Shout out to Uncle Skip. And I'm like, oh, we're calling him Uncle now. Okay, cool.
No.
Rest in peace. And I'm like, dude, Spicer, turn your mic off.
No, my wife's Uncle Skip, who passed away like 4 years ago.
I'm just going to leave. I'm a terrible White House president.
Seriously, you're terrible at this job. You're fired. Uncle Skip, he died about 5 years ago, and we used to go over on Easter, and he would hide a $50 bill in one of the eggs.
Oh, that's the golden egg, man.
Yeah, and the kids would go I'd go crazy because mm-hmm. I was trying to find the $50 bill.
We had a neighbor who did that. And they would invite the neighborhood kids over, and it was like there was a $100 bill in one, and then there was like a 50, and then a couple 20s, yeah. And then like it was just like, well, can the grown-ups take part?
Yeah, that's what Uncle Skip, can I play?
Jack made out like a bandit the last year. It was like, you got $82? it was crazy.
That's funny. Yes. Oh. Easter. Oh, Easter man. Gifts. Yeah. Go ahead.
Starmy's already chiming in with great names for my game. It's called Stingo. It's Steve-O Bingo, bro. You just telling you. It's like, oh, there it is. Blink-182 reference. Bink. I feel like I could just bring excitement to press conferences with the White House.
No.
Come on, guys.
We got a letter. When do you stop buying kids Easter gifts was one of the questions. Also, as Christians, should we even buy our kids Easter baskets? We got a married couple who have kids, and they're just discussing whether or not they should start buying Easter baskets for the kids. And I like what the Jeter family did. They've never done it. And
it's just because we've never really thought about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I mean, I don't know, but we're also not super traditionalists when it comes to certain things. Like, it seems like every year mid-December, like we've got the gifts for Christmas and they're like, oh, stockings. Oh man. And then I'm at Walgreens like, is NyQuil cool? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Children's Tylenol. What do we do?
Dollar store, bro. Dollar
for real. Store. I forget every year. It's like, oh, why do we have these? Yeah.
Beautiful.
By the way, sorry, I remember chiming in and totally thought you were talking about Pastor Skip as well.
No, so. I was not. My wife's Uncle Skip.
We were literally just talking about Sunrise Service and wearing bunny costumes and Pastor Skip. And you're like, by the way, Uncle Skip, R.I.P.
Rest in peace.
Oh my gosh, no! Not funny!
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well done, friend. Well done.
Well done.
It's been good, man. It was good.
Thank you. Been fun.
I've only ever known Pastor Skip. I've never known any other Skips in my life.
Really?
I didn't realize that other people were named Skip. I thought that was something he made up.
Just leave.
Yes. Ralph, you? Okay. Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah, no comment on that one. I think the Morning Evasion will continue tomorrow, so you'll have to keep it tuned. 6 a.m. Yeah, Monday
you know
through
what?
Friday.
Cut his mic.
10? Okay, cool. If that's all the questions that you guys have, all right, we're very okay. Cool.
Have a great day.
Yeah, terrible.
Epic.
Terrible.
White House
job.
Press Secretary.
Terrible. We are done with the show, guys. Thank you so much for being a part of it with us. We talked to Mrs. Schroff this morning.
When you say it like that,
Michelle,
you make her sound
Schroff.
Old. That's weird.
We talked about the prom. All the details about Friday's prom, Star 88 FM on Facebook. Go there. We, of course, pay tribute to dispatchers all around this beautiful city and state. It's National 911 Dispatcher Appreciation Week. Thank you for your service. We updated you on United Airlines, and you guys had some pretty funny mottos. We talked about a dog, a cat, and a rat who have a special bond. we learned what stand-up comedy is. Steve-O, your hair is so stand-up comedy this morning.
Thanks, bro. I woke up like this. I didn't have time to do my hair, so... But, you know, it's all part of the gig, I guess.
We also discussed depression, anxiety.
Yeah.
Someone dealing with that. Hit the podcast. It'll be up in just a little bit. iTunes, go subscribe, Google Play. You can get the podcast right at our app on your smartphone, or you can go to star88.fm on our website. I'm okay. Steve-O?
Yeah?
Have a great day, buddy.
You too, man.
This is where Steve-O and I don't talk the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's great.
Until tomorrow morning. I'll see you, buddy. Bye, Starmie.
That's all we got. There ain't no more.
That's right.
Time is tight. It's the end of the show.